Because we're talking about surprise, I think the lion would be surprised by that. I think the lion would be shocked that he'd been taken down so easily. You know,
okay.
He thinks he's the king of the jungle.
Right.
He doesn't know about cowboys. He doesn't realize what a... I don't know. I don't know what I'm talking about. Right. It's so stupid.
It is stupid.
Stupidest thing we ever talked about.
Sure.
I'm glad that we've reached the nadir of our conversation.
Cowboys versus lions. Cowboys who would win? Everybody, and welcome to Sneaky Dragon. I'm Ian Boothby.
And I'm David Dedrick.
And this is episode 260.
Yes, it is. You're
Again,
right.
It seems unrealistic that we've done that many. What have we done with our lives? You don't get the time back. You don't get the time back.
Whereas I feel quite the opposite of that. I feel
good, good. All right, that's fine.
What better way to spend your time?
Exactly.
Than sitting
Helping the poor.
Helping the poor. I.e. you. Mm-hmm. Poor Ian. No, just sitting and talking with your friend for, you know, an hour, hour and a half.
There you go.
And, you know, getting paid for it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I need to ask you about that sometime, how much we are getting paid for that. Just wanted to give a little bit of advice to our listeners out there.
Right away.
Right off the top.
Right off the top.
So I don't forget.
Sure.
And it's good idea. If you're a fan of amusement parks.
Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Here's how you turn your life into a one big like amusement park 24/7.
Oh, okay.
Here's what you do.
It sounds good.
Fuck up your back. Oh. And then everything is a crazy adventure. Everything is a test of skill.
Yeah.
Everything is a ride.
Walking on the stairs.
Everything is a thrill.
Getting into a car.
Going down a hill.
Yeah.
Walking down a hill with some slippery leaves.
Mm.
It's a thrill. It's a thrill ride that no roller coaster can beat. Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. But you know,
a bit more. You find yourself doing those screams sometimes. Those,
like what?
Those ah, you know, like on a roller coaster.
Yeah.
Except when you're getting out of bed, trying not to wake up your wife.
Yeah, I've been there.
Yeah,
I've been there.
Ooh.
Are you at that stage where you have to roll out of bed onto the floor, and then you can use your hands and knees to lift yourself up, and then sort of use the bed?
Yeah,
as
that
a
was
way
a little
to...
earlier this this week. I did that. Now what I'm doing now is it's the rolling and getting enough momentum.
Mm.
Because my wall is right there, right?
Okay.
So it's like...
You want too much momentum then.
You don't want too much, but you roll.
Yeah.
And then you're like, you're sort of almost in a sitting position. Push yourself up.
Yeah.
Hands on the walls. Now use your legs. Don't use your back. Do the leg lift. Then hands on your legs and sort of climb up your own legs.
Okay.
Pushing yourself up till you're standing.
Wow.
And by that point, wipe away the tears.
Yes.
And go into the bathroom, because that's the only reason that you got up, because you have to pee.
It really stinks hurting your back. And the weird thing about hurting your back is you very rarely do it in some like obvious way. Like, it's not like you were carrying a refrigerator up and down the stairs.
No, you moved 1 centimeter in the wrong direction at the wrong time.
That's right. I once hurt my back really badly at the gym, and not lifting weights. I was actually hanging, doing like pull-ups, and my back went out.
Mm.
And it's weird because you're not really using your back when you're doing pull-ups.
Did you fall?
No. Oh, when it happened, did I fall? No, I was able to let myself down, but it was very, very shocking. And then I was like, I'm okay. And then I started to do something else, and I was just like, I am not okay.
Yeah, and your whole body just screams, no, 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 no. Like, it's just this electric shock of no.
Yeah.
What I think happened to me was, it's because my update on my cat, still doing okay.
Good.
You know, it's got the lump, sleeping a lot more, but still, you know.
Have you had to, up the medicine, or?
There's a second medicine we've been occasionally using on him when it looks like he's rubbing his face a lot.
Okay.
Because of the tumor.
Okay.
But the problem with that is it kind of turns him into a zombie, and it's weird.
Yeah.
You know, it kind of turns him into, like,
for sure.
You know, he seems then like a sick cat when he's got that.
Yeah.
His hides.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. So we try not to when possible, but when necessary, we do. Okay. But what I was doing was, when we were on the couch, I'd be under a blanket, I'd make a little tent with my leg, and he'd go underneath and, you know, and he'd also do that when I'm sleeping, right? So I'd have to, like, kind of raise my legs up a little bit, and, you know, he'd sleep underneath my legs. And so I think what happened was I was doing that, and then there was, like, a cold breeze got me. And it messed up my back a little bit, and it just built and built and built and built.
Yeah.
And then I think I probably pulled something when I was in the shower a little bit, and it just added to it. And then it was just like, it's been a week of, fuck.
Yeah.
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 So, yeah. So what my wife has done, though, which is really kind of clever, is she put a string between the bed. It looks like we're a couple in an old 1930s movie, and we've got to share a bed, right?
Yeah.
So she put a string in between our bed from the headboard to the, you know, baseboard.
Yeah. Yeah.
And put a blanket on top of that, so I made a little tent on top.
Called it the Wall of Jericho.
There you go. And so he goes in there, and that's his little tent.
Oh,
so he
okay.
sleeps sort of on top, but he's still got a little tent.
Nice.
So he's
Whoa.
Very content. Yeah.
And unfortunately, you have the blinds down today, so we cannot.
So we cannot. Sorry, identify we can hear the sirens, but we cannot tell you what they are.
Yeah,
yeah. So that's the status. So right now, I've got an electric blanket going on. I got a Robaxaset pad on my back mm-hmm. as well, so that's doing a little bit of.
Is
heat.
That the little wooden marionette thing with the needle in its back?
That's right. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's the only way I know it as the commercial.
Yeah, he's trying to dance, and then he has incredible pain, yeah. and then they pull the needle out of his back. And then he's fine. He can dance again.
So that could be happening to you. There's a voodoo doll of you out there.
Could be.
And one of our listeners has taken a dislike to some opinion.
Now, will it be easier?
We probably had like a couple listeners who were big Trump supporters
mm-hmm.
and took it rather badly that you didn't like Trump.
Yeah, they've made little...
Whereas I was the big supporter and supported him all the way to the White House.
They've made little dragons and they've been sticking needles into dragons. Yeah, exactly. Now, let me just ask you this about voodoo dolls. Because
I'm an expert.
Well, now that you've got like a 3D printing situation and people mm-hmm. can just print figures of... Will that make it easier if you're making a voodoo doll?
Well, I don't think it has to be an actual like representation of the person.
And yet they seem to dress the doll up, as I've seen in movies, as the person.
Yeah, yeah.
Usually in the outfit they're wearing somehow.
You know, if you want to figure anything out, you know, I always go by a movie because mm-hmm. they're always really accurate in how they portray things. There's no more accurate way to do things.
Well, I know you prefer zoetropes. You're an old school guy.
I am more
If it's not on a zoetrope, you don't believe it.
You know what? I think
That's how horses run.
Yes. Well, that's true. I think if you just have like a representation of a human shape.
And I think you need hair.
And then you need some hair or some sort of something about the person that's maybe even clothes. Maybe that's what it is.
Right.
They steal the clothes of the person, cut them up, sew miniature clothes,
right.
and put them onto the voodoo doll. And then it makes a delicious donut if you go to Portland.
Because Voodoo Donuts is a donut place. And
yeah.
That's the reference.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I would put asterisks and then we'd go to the end of the story and then I'd let people know what was going on. Is that in the appendix or would it be the glossary or where would that be? That little information, asterisks and extra information.
I guess that would be the appendix, wouldn't it? Which you don't always need. Sometimes you can just take it out.
Of the book, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But you can't take out the glossary.
You can't take out the glossary. It's essential. It's an essential organ of the book.
Yeah. Whenever I used to be reading books in school and they had the glossary.
Because the glossary is terms. Right?
Well, yeah, it's usually words you don't understand.
That's right. That's what I mean. Like terms, things you don't understand, right. They'll be in there. Like in the back of the original, like in the Clockwork Orange, they had a glossary of the Nadsat language.
Oh.
Spoken by the characters. So you could look back there and it'd be like horror show or whatever else, you know, the things that they said. Like that's all I can think of right now. Horror show.
That's all they said. It was always a horror show.
Well, the horror show was good. I can't remember what else they said. There was another word. But I can't think of it.
Fair
so
enough.
That's fine.
That's all right.
There was a whole glossary, everyone, and I read it as a grade 12 student in fact, I liked it so much I photocopied it because I didn't have the book. I just had the library book, so I photocopied the
What
the
if
glossary.
You're a guy that just read glossaries and tried to get the gist of what the story was just from that?
From that?
Yeah.
Do you think you would have much success?
I don't know. It's interesting. You'd increase your vocabulary.
Droog.
Yeah.
That's another one.
Me and my droogs.
Droog.
What they call milk.
Milk was, I don't know what milk was, sorry. Voloshka was another word they used.
Okay.
I don't think that was milk. I don't know. Sorry. It was a mix of Russian and this sort of slang. So, or eggy wigs and the English and Russian kind of combined together to make the language.
It was a fun book to read.
Based on a fun book to read. Do you think it was a fun book to read?
I did, yeah.
It is a fun book to read. The origin of it wasn't fun. So
okay.
Anthony Burgess, who wrote it, he actually was diagnosed as having a brain tumor and given a very short time to live. And he decided he was going to write 3 books in order so his wife would have money and she could live off the proceeds of these books. So he wrote that book and some other ones that I can't remember now. Sorry, everyone. And that book was a big hit and gave them a lot of money. And it turned out that he did not have a brain tumor. And so he lived a long time. In fact, his wife died long before he did. She died of liver failure from drinking too much in Malaysia.
I'm sorry to hear that last part of the story. Otherwise, that would have been a happy story.
It would have been a very happy
weird.
Story.
Well,
I should have stopped.
It's a sad story.
I should have stopped.
I'm like, oh, here comes a sad story. Well, the thing was, he didn't have a brain tumor and ended up writing 3 hit books. Oh, what a terrible story that is.
Honey for the Bears may have been another one. And maybe Enderby. I'm not sure.
Oh, I thought you were just using the expression.
No,
you know,
no.
That's a terrible story.
Well,
Honey for the Bears is a bad day for the bees something.
That's another good book by him. He wrote quite a few books. Quite a few good books. He also wrote quite a few books, but also good books.
Yeah, well, that's how it goes. Every one of our shows isn't a gem. I mean, listen to this one for crying out loud.
My favorite
but
one.
People still listen.
My favorite one would be Earthly Powers, I think it's called.
Which
that's
is
a very
about,
good book.
Which is about?
It's told from the point of view of a character who I think is sort of based on Somerset Maugham,
okay,
the writer. So the character's gay, but he kind of, Burgess kind of adds to the character that he is a writer, and but he lives for a long time, so it expands like a long period of modern history. And he has, his brother is in the Catholic Church, and so you get these two different stories from two different kind of angles, and it's quite interesting, actually. It's a good book. I recommend it to people out there.
See, there we go. We're recommending books to you. How many other podcasts do that? Three? Maybe three others.
Probably 300 others.
Well, maybe a lot. Depends if they're sponsored by Audible or not.
Oh, yeah. They don't recommend books at Audible.
Yeah.
I recommend you listen to this book, read to you by a computer voice.
I don't think it's a computer voice that reads it.
It isn't? It's a person?
Yeah. It's usually like a celebrity or some such, or the author. If it's, you know.
I think it's a voice like this that reads that book to you.
I think you can have any
book. It was the worst of times. It was the best of times.
You can have any book read to you that way by the computer. I think your computer does do that. Yes.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And also celebrities like Stephen Hawking. It was the best of times.
That would be funny if Stephen Hawking did read his own books.
Yes.
It sort of feels like he should, right?
He should. Well, it's easy. It's already typed out.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to do any reading.
The only other option is that guy who played him in the movie, who's now in, you know, I've got a lovely bag of monsters.
Fantastic Beasts and Where They Are.
And they're in his briefcase. That's where they
are.
In
his suitcase, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Did you see that movie?
Nope, not yet.
Are you going to go see it?
Yeah.
Are you going to see it in the theater?
Yes. Hmm. Have you seen it?
I have not seen it.
But we did see Arrival.
Did you go see Arrival?
Very much liked it.
Oh, I was really pleased with it. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, there you go.
And I was undersold by someone else.
Yeah, it's a nice movie, and it's the kind of movie you don't want to talk too much about, and you want to shut the fuck up about, and just say, go see it. And you're like, oh, is it like Contact? No.
No.
No, it's not. It's not like Contact, because it looks like Contact, but it's not like Contact.
It's a Denis Villeneuve film, who's a Canadian director, as he's called on the internet, Denis Villeneuve.
Okay.
I heard his name pronounces that. I was just like, well, you're trying. Because other people are like, I don't want to say his name because I don't know how to pronounce it.
Sounds like a computer would be pronouncing it. Denis
Villeneuve. Who did Prisoners? Have you seen Prisoners?
Which one?
Jake Gyllenhaal and...
Wolverine.
And yes, Hugh Jackman.
Yeah.
That's a good movie.
Okay. I've seen chunks. I've not seen all of them.
Sicario with Emily Blunt. And
I was too sleepy when I saw that. I thought it was good, but I fell asleep.
Another fantastic film. Yep. And then he did my favorite film by him, which is Enemy, with Jake Gyllenhaal playing a university professor who discovers that there is a doppelganger of himself who is a minor actor and proceeds to try and discover this person and sort of worms his way into his life. And it's a very interesting film. And when it ends, there's the scene at the end of the movie, you literally just go, what the fuck? Like, you literally do that when the movie ends.
Yeah.
You're just like, what the fuck did I, what the hell? Like, it's a really interesting film.
Oh, cool. My TV was pushing that on me for a long time. That movie.
And you should have listened to it.
All right. Well, it's still there.
All right. Oh, I'm glad it's still there. Yeah, I recommend that film a lot. It's very interesting. And then... And this film, what I thought was interesting about this film, we can spoil it a little bit because I think this is in the trailer or in the press.
Yeah, I think if something's in the trailer, that's fair.
It stars Amy Adams.
Oh, nice spoilers.
She plays a linguist.
Mm-hmm.
And what I think is interesting about this film and another film is that there's two Canadian films that are very much about language.
Pontypool,
yeah, and Arrival. And it's interesting, they're both Canadian movies, and I can't think of too many other countries that make movies about language.
By the way, good pull on my part with the Pontypool.
Yeah,
huh?
That's very good.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That's very good.
All right.
I'm impressed.
Good job, Ian.
But you know what I mean, right? It's interesting. And I wonder if it's, because there are other countries in the world, like, say, Belgium, which we read about when we were doing the Totally Tintin, which if you haven't listened to, is available on iTunes, everyone. Totally Tintin, our Tintin podcast. Broadcast, which it has, you know, a couple of languages in, you know, that they've had to kind of make work because there's two different languages that make up the country. And same thing in Canada. But I do think it's interesting that, you know, we have this big kind of language thing that sort of hovers over us, the dual language and having two official languages and whatnot. And then
I thought all that got settled in Canada with the movie Good Cop, Bon Cop. I thought,
I
like, all of our differences got settled with that
film. I don't think
that
settled anything at all. I don't think that movie settled anything at all. No. I'm just thinking about it. I watched a bit of it. It's not a film that you can watch a lot of.
It's not a good film.
No, that's why you can't watch
it. No, it's really not a good film.
Yeah.
like to the point where I'm like watching it going, oh, so maybe this is like, oh, this is the stuff that people in Quebec find funny. This is the kind this is hilarious in Quebec.
Yeah.
Like, well, then if they're going to do what they say they're going to do, then here comes some stuff that we're going to find funny real soon. Nope.
But, you know, there's that show, I think it was called Series Noire, the one about the two guys that write a terrible law, like a TV show about like law and order kind of thing, or like a LA law kind of a show. And it's just like terrible and everyone hates it. And they're just mocked.
Successful.
But it's successful and they're just trapped in it. And that's a good show. And that's a funny show. That's good. That's from Quebec. So, you know, you can't judge a book by its picture.
No, listen. And there's stuff that's funny in Quebec that isn't funny for us. And I completely understand that. And that's fine.
Yeah.
But in this movie that was supposed to be kind of a half and half situation.
Okay.
I thought they could have done a bit more.
More Quebec?
More both. Like more all right, let's.
What you're saying is it should have been a funny film.
It should have been a funny film. Yeah.
Because it was advertised as a comedy.
You can like crank it up, you know, crank up the crazy slapstick, you know, French Canadian stuff, you know, do that business.
Yeah, sure.
Look, I grew up in that. I get it. Even though I don't get it, I get it.
Do you know what would have been better? And this is just off the top of my head, but it would have been better if they had to go to France. The Quebecois cop and the English cop had to go to France. And so you get a third, you get kind of instead of being them in Canada operating together, they have to be somewhere else where there's a sort of, both of them are fish out of water.
Well, then I think you've got it.
And so you have that separation of like how the English feel about the French and how the French feel about the Quebecois and stuff like that.
Yeah, well, then I think you got to throw in England as well then.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay, so, I'll go with you there. They're both, that would be even better. Yeah, that's so a good idea.
It takes place in both
those
places.
Yeah, I like it.
Listen, there's nothing saying we can't do that. Why don't we just like stop doing this podcast right now and just write that?
Good cop, bon cop too. Deux.
Yeah.
Part deux.
I'm trying to write a very Canadian sitcom that I can't really talk about right now. Mm. And oh boy. Things are hard.
The Lumberjohns?
Shut up.
No. It's about, forget it.
No, my Lumberjack sitcom is called Can I Axe You Something?
I like it.
And the one guy is always like rushing to the other guy going, chop, chop. And he's like, oh, you mean on the tree? No. And I was like, oh, no.
Oh, is he the French Canadian guy? Yeah. No.
Yeah. That's all he understands is like very simple phrases like that.
Chop, chop.
So he's always chopping things he shouldn't be chopping.
Okay. I just want to talk about
Arrival.
I want to talk. Oh, okay. Back to Arrival. Okay.
Unless
it's fine. What's our takeaway on Arrival?
Go see it.
Go see it.
Talk about it.
Don't talk about it.
Don't learn too much about it.
Yeah.
Just go see it.
Don't read. Don't read reviews right now.
No.
Don't watch internet videos that explain the ending.
Yeah.
Just go see it, and it's a really good movie. And you know, here's the thing, like people nowadays, they judge films on this criteria. Should I go see it in the theater? Is it as big as Captain America Civil War?
Is that how they judge them?
That's how they judge going to see movies nowadays.
Oh, you mean as in should I wait for it?
Should I wait for it? Because is it like a drawing room comedy that will play just as well on my TV set?
Yeah.
But it's a huge film in scale.
Yeah.
Like when they first come and see this UFO, which is kind of shaped like a half a jelly bean, and it's this kind of hovering in this valley. And it's filmed in Quebec.
Oh, is it?
By the way, yeah. And so it has this mist.
So that's why all the aliens are all meh.
That's right. They're always smoking, drinking Pepsi. And then so it has this mist, you know, coming down into the valley. And it's just the scale of the film is wonderful. And so I think in that sense, it really is worth going to see in the theater because, you know, just that immersive quality of the film. And it's really, you know, you really kind of start living through Amy Adams' character.
And let me say this too. When you're watching a movie at home, are you really watching the movie?
Or on your phone?
You're doing a lot of this shit.
I have to admit, I'm not a phone looker while
but
I'm watching.
Most people
playing.
Are. You'll be distracted. Yeah. Something else will happen. Someone will come in, go, what's this about?
Sure.
What you watching? Mm-hmm. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
If you want to be in the theater for this, just sit down. Just let it wash over you.
Yeah.
Can I watch it with my parents? Can my parents come and watch this film with me? Sure. They'll be fine with it.
They'll be fine.
Yeah.
Just,
you're not going to get any crazy sex scene in the middle that's going to make you go, ooh, I feel uncomfortable.
Sigh.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. And it's, and the other thing is that we always say, why are there only dumb movies in the theaters? Why aren't there smart movies in the theater? Well, here's someone who made a smart science fiction film. Mm-hmm.
Did the heater just pop on just now?
Yeah.
Then I'm going to turn it off. That means there's something weird with the power.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah,
probably. Okay.
Yeah, just turn that.
Sure.
There we go. Okay, back to you.
We always say that we want a smart film, and now here's a really smart science fiction film that, you know, is serious and it's science fiction.
Yeah.
I'm sure if you want to nitpick it, of course, you can nitpick it to pieces.
Well, let me ask you this.
But
is it enjoyable as well?
Oh, it's really a fun film.
I would say that as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not a, oh, it's a, oh, Oh, yeah.
And it also had an actor in it from the Republic of Doyle, so I enjoyed seeing him.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
The young soldier, one of the young soldiers.
All right, good. Yeah, yeah. And they had a guy who was an Avenger in it.
Yes.
And they had the guy from Doctor Strange who almost gets to do something in Doctor Strange.
The guy from Doctor Strange who, oh, yes, I see who you mean, who's in A Serious Man.
Yes.
Michael Kuhlberg? I can't remember his name. I'm sorry. He was also in
Men. What a great name, though.
Men in Black 3.
That's his name, Mike Kuhlberg.
I don't know what his
number is. Private Eye.
I just made it up.
That's nice.
It might have been.
But yeah, in Doctor Strange, his job is this. Is like, can I do the surgery? No.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. How about now? Eh. Yeah, all right.
Well, you know, that's your thing. They wanted to play him up as a dick, and so that.
But he wasn't a dick in Doctor Strange.
No, no, no. Stephen Strange. Doctor Strange. They wanted to play up as a dick, so he had to have someone there who would be a sympathetic character, but not as good as Doctor Strange.
So what we're saying about Arrival? Go see it.
Go see it, because it's a lot of fun. We can't really talk about it right now. Nope. Like maybe in 3 years, we could discuss this film in some detail.
Yeah, or if you see us in person.
Or if you see us in person.
Once again, Dave has put his address online. Just go by the
house.
That's
true.
Pop on by. You guys can go into Dave's work area.
Yep.
And have a chit chat.
There's an IKEA chair in there. You can sit down in one of those kind of comfortable.
I would say bring him some Turkish delight, and he'll spin you a yarn.
I'll spin you a yarn with my mouth full. Yes. Not Turkish delight though. Big Turk.
Oh, you don't like Turkish delight?
Turkish delight's okay, but I like Big Turk because it has chocolate on it. So it's like a big, it's like you're eating like hard strawberry jam or whatever with chocolate on it.
I'm trying to think where nowadays in Canada you can get a Big Turk. I have not seen one of those on a shelf.
I don't know, at like the store that I was just at the other day.
Where, in your dreams?
No.
Dream store?
No, at
Safeway. Do they have Safeway? Flying pills?
Safeway. Huh? It has Big Turk bars.
Okay, all right.
And then they sell them at the dollar store in Aldergrove.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and what else they sell at the dollar store? Those cherry blossoms.
Nice. The Lowney's cherry blossoms.
Yeah, yeah.
I've been to the dollar store.
Feels like the wrong name, right? Cherry blossoms, but that's
the
right
name. That's what they are. Lowney's always has odd names, like they have glossettes or their chocolate covered raisins and peanuts.
I love them.
Whatever. Yeah, but what's a glossette? What's that mean?
I don't know.
Yeah, there you go.
It's a small glossary.
Doesn't sound good, right? A glossette? Why would you like to eat that? Sounds like a glossy candy. That sounds terrible. You know, what's the same candy called in America? Raisinette. Oh, I get it. That. So it's like a raisin.
Mm-hmm.
But then their peanuts are called goobers, so fuck it.
That's an actual nickname for peanuts. So.
I know. I know that from Super Goof.
I guess glossettes comes from a time when people just made up names for stuff. And often they were like weird names.
Fufanols.
Fufanols, that's right. There you go.
Now, have you been to the dollar store and seen the knockoff chocolate bars?
Mm-hmm.
They're like not Mars, but like the Mart bars.
Not Mart. They have a different name. They'll be like Galaxy, a Galaxy bar.
Well, okay, yeah, because Mars is Galaxy. Yeah, that's right. Because it's both space related.
And then Bounty is I can't remember what Bounty
Mutiny?
Is. It's Mutiny. That's right. They always seem to put it on top of the Bounty bar, so you can't see them. No, it has a different name, but yeah, they're all kind of related to what their name is. So,
yeah. Have you ever even considered getting one of the discount chocolate bars?
Well, you know, the thing is that for chocolate not much bars, more, the real chocolate bars are
right.
there too. So
one,
why would
chocolate bars are not expensive. That's never been the problem with chocolate bars
at all. Yeah.
Especially, you know, you're always around a holiday where there's discount chocolate, so don't worry about it.
Yeah.
But two, it just feels like, a knockoff Mars bar. Mm-hmm. Oh, that feels dangerous. That feels like literally dangerous. Like, you know,
I guess you have to look and see where it's made.
Before you eat a discount Mars bar. Like, what's that about? What's that chocolate? What did you do that? What corners did you cut?
Yeah.
On the cheapest chocolate bar to make this.
Yeah.
It's like discount Tang. Why would you? Well, though, to be fair, my parents did buy Cascade, which was.
Cascade. That was the name of a dishwasher.
Yeah, it was also the name of.
That'd be a terrible mistake to make as a child.
I'm pretty sure it was. I'm looking this up while
While you look it up. Oh man.
Spin me a yarn. Dude.
I had these little things I was going to talk about, and now I can't remember what I was going to say about anything. Ugh, so dumb. But I was going to say something about. Oh, I was going to say the thing I have trouble with nowadays, and I was just thinking about these chocolate bars. That if you looked at them, where they are made, probably they're made in the same factory as Mars bars. They just have a different packaging.
Well,
that they
my
throw
grandmother
on.
Used to get me from the supermarket. She would buy the plastic bag full of the mutilated chocolate bars, the ones that went wrong, like the crunchy bar that like at an angle and is now forming a swastika, so they can't sell it. You know, that kind of thing.
They could now, but the
things have changed. they don't
not
even
for
list
the better.
Come on, Cascade drink mix. Come on. You were real. Don't gaslight me, internet.
The thing that's really killing me now, though, is in grocery stores, like they're getting rid of food I like, and replacing it with like store brands that aren't, they're made like hot dog relish, for instance. I really like hot dog relish. Not the green relish, but yeah, the kind of mustard relish combo. I like that on a hot dog, even though I put mustard on it. I like to double my mustard in the relish form.
Yeah, I just bought some yesterday.
And did you buy Bix, which is made in the USA?
No, I bought a generic brand.
Which, if you look in the back, is probably made in China or made in India, which seems insane to me.
Oh, I don't know. I think pickles and mustard in India, they know what they're doing.
I'm sure they do. But does it make sense for them to be brought all the way here from India? Like, I don't know. In terms of, like, we're worried about the world. Why are we shipping pickles and mustard from the other side of the planet?
Yeah, that's fair. Okay, I'll give you that. I'm going to sneeze and
Okay. That's how he feels about it. Oh, so mad.
So mad.
Bless you.
No, I could almost see if you're getting some sort of fancy mustard and pickles. There's two things India does well, pickles and mustard. Sure. They know what they're talking about.
This is hot dog relish.
Right. You want to do a Bix.
And then same with mushrooms. I had to buy mushrooms the other day and I was looking at the cheap, very cheap house brand at the store. Mm-hmm. And I look at the back and it's made in China. I'm like, well, I don't want made in China. This is so... There's Money's Mushrooms. I'll pay a little more for Money's Mushrooms. Look in the back. Made in China. Well, what the hell? Like,
yep.
We grow our own mushrooms. And it's Money's Mushrooms, which we always remember as kids always being advertised as being beastly grown and blah, 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 how great our mushrooms are.
And Money's. What's his name?
James Barber.
He would say,
Money's Mushrooms make meals marvelous.
That's right.
And I guess they still do, but they just make them from a longer distance. They come over in a giant freighter in a big giant container that goes to a port, and then it's taken off with a big giant crane, and then it's lowered down onto the back of a truck, and the truck noisily pumps gas and stuff in the air and blocks me while I'm trying to drive to work in the morning because they're so slow in the hills.
And they're like, what's this? It's your mushrooms. Yeah. Yeah, so you'd rather shop local.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I was making my apparently famous, bi-monthly dinner for Garden to Table. And so I just buy like 4 cans of sliced mushrooms because it's easy to dump 4 cans of sliced mushrooms into a casserole to make. And yeah, I don't like it.
Do you drain the water first, or do you?
Yes, I do drain the water. Yes, yes.
Good man.
Yeah, that's. I hate when people like even tomatoes too. Like, don't just put the tomatoes in with the liquid. Now you wrecked your spaghetti sauce. No one wants it that liquidy.
No, you're gonna have to boil it forever.
Yeah.
No, I guess it's just the bulk amount. Is still cheaper, and that's what people want. And there you go. And boy. Well, we'll see. Trump will fix this all. He was going to get hard on China. So I'm everything's going to be hard for China, and everything's going to be, it's the thing.
It's a bit late, isn't it?
Sure. It's all too late, man.
Okay.
We're living in the late times. Late times. By the way, it will have passed by the time you listen to this, but you're half American. So
I'm half American.
Happy Christmas dinner practice day.
Thank you. Thank you. I did not celebrate. I miss working at my old job, though, today, because... For the last few years when I was working at Sunburst Medical.
And does that still exist?
No, it does not. Oh, I guess it does, but it exists back east. And I don't really follow them any longer. But I don't follow them on Twitter anymore.
What would they tweet? What would their tweets be?
I don't know. New crutches out. I have no idea. The thing about sale on wheelchairs. Check us out.
Roll on.
I have no idea what they would do. I don't know. I'm just joking. They're not on Twitter. My bosses were way too old-fashioned for that. They didn't even know Facebook hardly. The sort of people who commented, like wrote you direct letters in other people's comment sections, Hey, Dave, how's it going?
That's right. It's a real mom thing to do. Yeah. Yes. And they have a thing on late-night TV now where, like my business wasn't doing great, but then I had someone set up a Facebook page for me, and now everyone knows about my business.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Sure. Facebook. What, you had someone set up a Facebook page? Like, I know, but no. Yeah,
but yes.
Not at all.
Oh yes.
That's not a thing. Mm-hmm. It's a picture for fuck's sake, and just type a thing. That just seems like the biggest scam in the world. That to me is when I see that, I'm just going, there's a course at your library for free that will take care of this right away. If you just go to your library, almost any of those things, it's just like, go to your library. They've got it. How do I edit a movie on my computer? Go to your library. They've got a course this month. They will show you how to do it. And for those of you going, I'd like to do a podcast. Okay, guess where you go? Your library. They'll show you how to do it.
We should go there and figure out how to do this properly.
Yeah, no kidding.
What I liked about Thanksgiving at Sunburst, though, was because I work by myself most of the day, is I would just put one of the computers...
Dressed as a turkey.
I dress as a turkey, of course.
But all year long. It's the one time of the year it makes sense.
Yeah. Standing out on the road waving to people.
Gobble, gobble,
gobble,
hey.
Gobble, come by our crutches. I didn't tell you what my real job was.
Yeah, No. He was the turkey missing a drumstick.
That's right. Tiny turkey. I would put on one of the computers and stream Mystery Science Theater 3000 all day because on Thanksgiving they stream
Turkey Day Marathon.
They had the Turkey Day Marathon, so I would just have it always running in the background. So whenever I had to go in the office and do something, there it was, always playing for me. So I really enjoyed that day. I can't do that anymore where I work now. Of course, there's no streaming service, and really no time to sit in and.
You got time to lean. You got time to clean. That's what I say.
I did clean as well, but also Mystery Science Theater 3000. Which I said at work, and everyone looked at me like with a blank stare. I guess it's that old.
Yeah.
That, you know, where is it now? Where does it exist?
They're still doing it. It's very popular. I know it's still online.
I know it's still.
Oh, by the way, do you know where it is? Mm. It's coming up this Christmas. It's coming back.
Yes.
Coming back hard.
It's coming back.
Mm. No, it's coming back hard. It's got a power lineup.
I have to say that I saw Jonah Ray doing. He was working with the original. With Joel.
Yeah.
They did a film together and I wasn't that impressed.
Okay.
I was not that impressed. The old folks, they knew what they were doing. The young guy, maybe he's nervous.
Maybe it's his first time doing it.
Yeah, could be.
You know, you've seen a guy who's done, you know, a couple of hundred, and you've seen a guy who's doing his first.
Yeah.
The guy's first, not as good. But, you know, they've got, like, Patton Oswalt's part of the team. They got, like, a whole bunch of really solid writers. Mm. Dan Harmon's doing writing on
what?
It.
I don't need that.
And I can't say much more, but other people that we personally know are going to be doing stuff on it too. So there's stuff. I see.
You have a bit of a bias. So I would not listen to Ian talk about Mystery Science.
Are you a Mike or a Joel?
I'm a... Well, the first one I saw was Joel. So that's pretty important. But I really like what Mike brought to it. And
a little bit tighter.
Maybe. Yeah. I think Joel still had like the old cable access element to his performance, you know, when the show was really loose. Like, if you watch...
that's the thing. If you like a loosey-goosey show, more of a hippy-dippy, you know, weedy, weedy time.
Go on.
If you... what else do you like? Smoky-dopey. Trippy-acidity.
Yeah? You think that's what he was?
Lippity-dippity. Mm. That is also good. But, you know, it's much more of that one, man.
Yeah.
And then you got the corn-fed, you know, working guy.
Yeah.
Who's going to get the job done and do some skits for you, gosh darn it. Here we go. But
they did skits with Joel, too.
Sure they did.
I mean, one of the...
But they were all kind of this kind of skits.
I don't know with that.
Hi, everybody.
I love Joel. I love Pod People.
Fantastic.
And doing that song that, you know, when they did, like, they had them singing the rock song in the studio.
Yeah.
It stinks. But then they did their own version of it, and they just made up their own words. So that's very good. That was a very good one. I don't care what you say.
Who did Patrick Swayze Christmas? Was that Mike or Joel?
Mm, I don't remember that one, actually.
Oh, so good.
I haven't
Patrick
seen
Swayze
them.
Christmas, one of the best Christmas songs.
I haven't seen them all. One of my other favorites, and this was a Mike one, was when Crow, they do like a Grateful Dead thing, and then Crow does the long solo, and it cuts away for a second, cuts back, and Mike's folding his clothes, and he's still, still playing away on this long solo, which was just played on a keyboard, so it wasn't actually like a real guitar, but it was still very good. But if you watch the first season, and I do, I have through, because they said keep the tape circulating.
Yeah.
So they only have themselves to blame for the fact that I have a lot of Mystery Science Theater 3000 that I just got in some mysterious way.
Yeah, but
I have
something you would never see at the end of a TV show now.
Yeah, that's
right. You know, hey, illegally download these and hand them out amongst your friends. We're asking you to. Please do this.
Yes, that's true. But I mean, that was a great way to get the word
out. It still is. But it's like, you know, we got to pretend like you're not supposed to.
When you watch that first season, it is pretty slow. Pretty slow. I mean, part of the problem is that every movie, it was a Gamera film. Because I guess that was what was in the TV station.
They had the rights library. To, yeah, they could use them.
Yeah, and it's very low key. It's very low key. So low key. It's just like, yeah, is that a thing that's happening? What are you doing? What's happening then? Yeah.
But compared to everything else that was on public access.
Oh, I'm sure.
That was the tone.
Yeah. It wasn't really public access. It was the actual commercial station. It was just.
Oh, was it?
In the days when commercial stations were small local stations, you know, and weren't part of the WB. They weren't part of the whatever, you know. They were still KCPQ or KVOS or whatever. And they didn't have like a a brand identity.
They didn't show it in Canada until they did the hour-long, you know, version.
Which played on KCPQ.
That's right. And so we had to find the tapes, as you do, and you order them. And
I
ordered a whole bunch from, you know, every so often I'd order a batch and get them and be very excited.
Huh.
Yeah, it'd be thrilling, and you'd watch them, and you'd just be in tears laughing.
Yeah.
And it was a shame that the movie didn't come up to Canada either.
Yes.
When that came out, and I was like, oh, you know, I didn't get a chance to go down and see that. Mm-hmm.
I didn't see it until actually when I was in 94, when I was in school to become a farrier, and a bunch of us decided because the farrier conference was near us. It was going to be in Portland, Oregon, or actually it was in Vancouver, Washington, but they said it was Portland. So it was going to be very close. So we were like, well, we should head down and go to it, because, you know, this is like our one time chance to go to a farrier convention. You should see the cosplay of that. A lot of centaurs. But anyway, we went down there. We stayed in this hotel, and they had the comedy. They had Comedy Central, whatever it's called. And so I was able to finally see, after so many years of hearing about it, I was able to see Mystery Science Theater 3000. It wasn't one of the best ones. It was B Ladies or the B Women or something like that.
Okay.
Do you know that one?
Spider Lady?
Not maybe? Spider Lady. It was Bees.
Okay.
It was a B one. But I'm not sure. It wasn't even like a play on B movies or anything. It was just about...
I think I got it.
It was a black and white film. And it wasn't like the... And it was a Joel one as well. It was... So, you know, the movie wasn't great, but it was so great to finally see the show. And the little, you know, between movie segments were great. And yeah, I was so excited. And
you got to see the invention exchange.
And Lisa was so bored. She did not like it at all. She still does not like it at all.
Yep. If you don't like it, you don't like
that
it.
That is a show that could just crawl away and die, and you'd be perfectly fine.
Yeah, I had a good friend who said, like, is that the show where they make jokes that, you know, you'd be funnier making, as in talking about us? And like, no, we wouldn't be that funny.
Yeah.
No. They really do a good job.
Yeah.
They do a really, really, really good job.
Yeah.
You know.
And when you watch, like, it seems simple. But then when you watch how they had to do it, you realize, oh, that's actually very complicated.
Yeah.
And they weren't actually watching the film. They were just watching a clock ticking by, and they would just make their comments at the time.
I've done a version of that with a group called the Gentlemen Hecklers in town a couple of times, when one of them has had to do something else. And it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
And you're sitting down there with your list of times, and you're just waiting and elbowing each other when it's like time to do a thing. And it's difficult. It's fun, but it's, oh man, it's hard.
Yeah, because you're kind of juggling. And then you guys are actually watching the film, so you can get distracted by the movie, and then you've got to also keep...
And also, when you're watching a movie, it's like, when you watch a movie, you don't watch the movie this intensely. So when you've watched the movie, you probably watch it twice. Ugh. You know, and then you got to watch it the third time, and it's usually a shitty movie. But you're watching it so intently that, like, by the end of it, you're just like, oh, my eyes. Oh, jeez. Because you stop and you start and you're writing down a gag.
Yeah.
Yeah. Once again, folks, I wish we could tell you what the siren was.
But it's an emergency vehicle. That's what I bet.
But if you get a chance to see the Gentlemen Hecklers in Vancouver, they are...
they do a really good job.
They do a good job doing basically the same thing.
Mm-hmm. And, it's a tricky thing to do. I don't... I think it's... what I like... What I actually... You know, what I would miss about... What it sounds like I will miss about... with the new one, what I'll miss about the old one is their obscure Minnesota references that only they got. Maybe some reference to a mall, local mall, or some local thing that the only they knew and they could laugh at.
It makes it sound kind of, the Minnesota sound magical. Like, I got a couple of the making of Mystery Science Theaters, and you just see them building the, you know, the doors that open into the theater.
Okay.
It's just like, oh, it's just so, looks so fun. Looks so fun. Mm-hmm. It looked like that.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be the most fun in the world, just sitting around and just writing dumb jokes.
Yeah.
Making little props and doing little short skits. And it's just like, it was like everything that was like that I liked. It was like,
that was Comedy Central's flagship program for a long time, until South Park started, and then South Park took off so big that it really almost killed.
And where's that show now?
I don't know. Same place.
No, same place. Yeah, it's doing great.
It's doing great.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
But it really wiped
and then they went to the Sci-Fi Network, right?
Which wasn't a great idea. But I mean, it was probably their only option.
It was the only option. Yeah.
Their only option. And I mean, it was a case of the wheel starting to fall off, because Trace Bulow left. So they lost one of the Mads, and they lost one of the mad scientists, and they lost one of the robot voices. And I think a pretty important one, because he was there from the very beginning. And then.
And what do you think about them replacing Crow? Like, I know you replaced Trace because, you know, his character left as a mad scientist.
Yeah.
But should they have replaced Crow's voice, or should they have just gotten a new robot in there?
They did that with Tom Servo, so I don't see the problem with...
Oh, they did it with Tom Servo way in the beginning.
Sure.
Way in the beginning.
But I mean,
before anyone really knew anything.
Yeah.
But like,
you think they should have had a different robot?
Yeah, I think that was a bit of a mistake. I think they should have just had another robot come in and have his own personality, because it's weird, you know, having it's just weird.
Yeah.
To me.
Mm-hmm. It didn't really bother me, actually.
Okay. It didn't bother me at the time. In retrospect, I think it would have been stronger just to add another character to the mix.
All right, Mr. Hindsight.
You know, you don't have Mike coming in and going, I'm the clone of Joel.
Mm.
You know, just call me Joel. You know, it's...
I think the sci-fi thing was a mistake in more of the limited selection of films then, because they're limited to only doing science fiction ones. So you couldn't get a Mano's Hands of Fate or something like, well, Pop People, I guess they could have done, but the Golden Boots one was the one. The one
Mitchell. You couldn't have done Mitchell.
Yeah, Mitchell. Yeah, that's right. Like, you know, so you kind of cut off one leg off, I think, off the show, and so they kind of limped to the end, which it was still pretty good though. I mean, you know, what was that one? The people actually sent them the film to do. It was like Time Trailers or Time something, and they sent them the film to make fun of. And then they made fun of it, and then they were really upset. The people who made the film were really upset by being made fun of.
Yeah.
I guess because they thought, well, it'll be some lighthearted ribbing. And then they just tore them a new one because it's a terrible film, and then they were just really upset. But it's probably like the best way to get promotion for your film.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, if you have a dumb movie,
there's
no better way to like for people to see it than in that situation. And it makes it bearable. Like now Mike Nelson and Bill Corbett and... the guy who played Tom Servo.
And the rest.
What was the name of the guy who played? Kevin Murphy. Went on to do Riff Tracks, which is also really great, because what's great about Riff Tracks is they do like a separate soundtrack to films that you can sync up and watch a movie and add their Riff Tracks to it.
Which I really can't do, but other people online have graciously
kindly done
connected it with the correct film, and everything's fine, and you can illegally kind of get those things
if you want.
I can't sync it up well. I've done the sync up, and it's been...
It's hard to do, you're right. And then, but what's great about those is that it makes horrible new films really easy to watch. Like, I've never seen any of the Twilight films without Riff Tracks. Like, I have not sat through those films because it's terrible. I watched the first Transformers film as a movie, but I have not seen any other ones without the Riff Tracks. In fact, I could not get through all the films, even with the Riff Tracks, because they're so terrible.
Yeah,
that even Riff Tracks couldn't help me.
With T.J. Miller.
I don't like... the one thing I don't like that Riff Tracks does, though, is when they make fun of films I like. And it's not that I'm mad at them for doing it. It's fine. It's just that if I'm watching, I like the film, so it's too distracting. They keep talking through the film. I'm just like, shut up, you guys. The movie's late. So I don't want to watch like Lord of the Rings or whatever with them making fun of it.
Luckily, you've got other options and you could just watch
Lord of the Rings. Yeah, I could just watch Lord of the Rings. But you know what I mean? Like, I don't mind other people watching it. I can't enjoy it. Like Spider-Man or something like that, I like.
And I enjoy watching the shorts too.
Yes.
You know, those used to be my favorite thing with like Mystery Science was like I get the VHS tape of all the shorts. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, all these delicious.
Yes.
So good.
I'm of two minds about those though because I'm old fashioned.
Yeah.
I really, when I'm watching those films, I'm like, but they're right. You know, your appearance is important.
That's right. Yeah.
You should brush your hair and take care of yourself.
Right.
You do make an impression on people.
Yes.
So the whole time I'm watching, they're making fun of them. I'm like, no, but they're right. You do have to make a good impression.
But you can be right and still not take it. Don't take it too seriously.
Don't take it too seriously.
That's the thing.
Another one where the family dinner was important. I'm like, fuck yeah. Family dinner is like the best part
Absolutely.
Of the night.
But don't take family dinner too seriously,
A
sense of humor about everything helps.
That
helps
certainly does help.
As many people are probably finding out tonight.
Why?
Because it's Christmas practice day dinner.
Oh,
tonight.
It's Christmas of Thanksgiving, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And the Cowboys won. They beat the Lions today. Keeping the Thanksgiving tradition of the Detroit Lions losing a Thanksgiving.
Well, let me ask you this then, Dave. Because I'm not big on sports. Who would win in a fight between Cowboys and Lions?
Well, apparently the Cowboys.
No, but actual Cowboys.
Oh,
and
between between Cowboys and actual Lions. You know what? I'm gonna give it to Cowboys.
Are they on horses? Because if they're on horses, I could see. If they're not on horses, I don't know. I think Lions might win.
No, I don't
the
think
Cowboys.
So. I think because Lions, you know, Lions are essentially lazy and they just go for the easy. So guys with guns, I don't think Lions are gonna like that very much.
We'd have to shoot a lot. You know, but I think like
they
a
can
lion,
though. They just but you just demonstrated where they
do
that thing
that
with a
slap, slap, slap.
I don't know if that actually works.
I don't think you're going to be that calm with a lion running at you. You know, I mean that's just a scary thing. And also, where do you shoot a lion?
Ian,
do you shoot him in the head?
Or? You shoot him in the savannah. And
that seems a little.
They're cowboys.
A little mean.
Afraid of the savannah. They're cowboys.
Yes, they are.
I think that says everything. I'm not going to say anything more than that.
Okay, I'm going to give you this though. I think a lion seeing a cowboy is mm-hmm. going to be less surprised than a cowboy seeing a lion. I think if a lion, if a cowboy's walking through,
okay, where's the cowboy?
A ranch.
Okay, so this, these are escape lions that are like,
I'm going to go one on one. We're equal numbers.
Okay,
I'm a cowboy.
Yeah,
I've just come out from cowboying.
Sure.
I've put my cattle into my cattle hole and
all these technical terms that you've learned.
Fine, fancy man.
Yeah.
So you come out mm-hmm. and like all of a sudden, who's there 30 feet from you?
Yeah.
A hungry lion.
Yes.
And you're a cowboy. You got a gun.
Yeah.
You do have a gun.
Sure.
But you got a lion there.
Your instinct as a cowboy though is to get out the lasso and or lasso.
Oh, and then tie him up.
The lariat and tie it up, yeah.
Okay, so he does that and the cowboy dies.
Why?
Because you get a lion on his back, and all of a sudden you've just got four fucking razor sharp claws.
Oh, no, they're so fast. They're so fast.
You think he could flip? First of all, he's not on a horse. He's on.
Oh, he's on feet. Or on foot. Yeah, that's
even,
right.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to put him on a horse. Do you mm-hmm. think that a cowboy could lasso a lion, mm-hmm. put the lion on his back,
yep.
whip the rope around those razor sharp?
Yeah, I do. Because we're talking about surprise, I think the lion would be surprised by that. I think the lion would be shocked that he'd been taken down so easily. You know,
okay.
He thinks he's the king of the jungle.
Right.
He doesn't know about cowboys. He doesn't realize what a... I don't know. I don't know what I'm talking about. Right. It's so stupid.
It is stupid.
Stupidest thing we ever talked about.
Sure.
I'm glad that we've reached the nadir of our conversation.
Cowboys versus lions. Cowboys who would win?
Who would win?
Well, I'm going to throw that out to our listeners. Like, we always want to throw a little something out to our listeners.
Okay.
And let's say... who do you think would win in a fair fight?
Okay.
No horses.
All right.
Or if you want, make it fair, have the lion riding a horse as well. Cowboys versus lions. Who wins that fight?
Okay, how about this one? Eagles versus Seahawks. Who would win?
Oh. How big is a Seahawk compared to an eagle?
I don't really know, actually.
Because I got to go size-wise. The eagle's going to have a size advantage.
I don't know. Here's the thing. It's funny. I was up at my lake one time. And we watched two birds. One was an eagle.
We're watching two birds.
Two birds.
Yeah, right, up there.
Two birds. Nudge, nudge. Two birds. One stone. They were fighting over a fish. It was an
Keith
eagle.
Richards.
It was an eagle and an egret. And the egret won. But they were like, they kept knocking the fish out of each other's claws, and it would fall down in the water. Then the other one would dive down and grab it and try to fly off. The other one would attack.
I'm with you for speed for food.
Yeah.
But are you talking like a fight? A fight to the death. I think like an eagle. Well, an eagle, though. Oh, boy, it's tough. Because I think an eagle gets enough height and comes mm-hmm. down at you. The eagle's going to win that one. But like when you're on the ground face to face, it's possible. I don't know if he's got a lot of good movement down mm-hmm. down low.
Mm-hmm. The other thing you could do is just look at last year's stats and see their games won and then kind of go from that.
Yeah, there we go. Good times. Trust me, I've thought of like how I'd have to fight an eagle.
Have you?
I thought of that, yeah.
Yeah.
Because, you know...
you never know.
Because, you know, a worry of my sister-in-law, was she used to walk this little dog, you know, eagles have been known to take small animals.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Sure.
So you're walking a, they go you're right walking into your the dog city. Or off leash or whatever, and boom. It's like, well, what do you do? And so I've been thinking like, all right, have I got a bag? You got to throw the bag at it. You got to confuse it with the bag.
Okay.
And, you know, I think the best case scenario, because I have kind of a large satchel.
Yeah.
My best case scenario is if I can get the satchel over the eagle's head.
Yeah.
If I can get over the eagle's head, that gets me a little control. That gets me maybe on the back.
Mm-hmm.
And I can, you know, and I don't want to hurt the eagle. But like, I think that's my best bet is like bag over the head, fuck off.
Yeah.
With whatever you can.
What you do actually is if you're going to walk a dog and you're worried about eagles is that you walk a beagle because it looks so much like an eagle that the eagle is confused. It's only one letter different.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like, I don't know what, which is me. I can't even tell. It's like I'm in a mirror.
Right.
So it's really easy.
Yeah. You base your life on the old Letterman cartoons from the Electric Company. Is that right?
That's right.
Is that how it goes?
Eagle. Beagle.
They have a sign in England now in a couple of different pubs that says be nice or leave. But be and nice are so close together that I've always wanted to put an R in there, and it's like Bernice or leave, so it's only people named Bernice have to be there. And I wrote that yesterday in response to someone who posted that, and the person who replied and thought that was funny was Margaret Atwood. So that's my Canada brag.
Whoa!
Boom!
Drop it! Survival!
High fives all around, Margaret
all
Atwood.
All over the place.
And was I writing a joke about Margaret Atwood at the time? I was. Was that weird that I saw her tweet? Yes, that was weird. I was like, can she see what I'm writing?
Better stop.
What's happening? How does she know what? No, it's unrelated.
Okay.
Yep.
Did someone else retweet it and she saw it?
Nope. Weird. No, I responded to a thing that she was actually part of it.
So, oh, okay, yeah. Okay.
So it wasn't, she wasn't just scanning through and then saw
your little joke.
But we had a little back and forth. Good time.
Nice.
Yeah. Hooray for that.
Nice. Canadiana.
Yep. Took a break from all my harsh political tweets that I've been... You know, when you wake up in pain and angry, it's yeah. like, that's a good time to like just burn off all your political tweets in the morning. Like, done. And then you leave for the day.
I've closed the door on that.
What door?
The door.
On Twitter? We're not doing Twitter anymore?
No, not Twitter. I'm not going to get worked up about it right now. I mean, there's lots of reasons to get worked up, but I just feel like...
Was it weighing down on you? And so was it blackening your life?
I don't think... I don't really take things that way. So I'm not a person that dwells. I'm not a dweller.
In darkness.
I don't dwell in the darkness. It's true. And so, you know, I feel like the United States elected a jerk. Now they're going to have to live with it. Dummies. That's how I feel about it. I mean, it's terrible. I guess... And it's just going to get worse and worse. It's weird, isn't it? It feels like we had it really great for a while, and then people got mad about us having it so good, and now they want it to calm down, you know? Calm down. Doesn't it feel weird, like, in the 80s? What was Die Hard? When we went and saw Die Hard in the theater,
yeah.
Was it PG? It wasn't restricted.
No, it was. It was restricted.
Was it restricted?
Yeah, because it said motherfucker.
Was that it? Oh, and so it was, but people, there was more restricted films than in those days.
Yeah.
Like nowadays, they don't want to have restricted films. They want to make.
Yeah, CPKA, motherfucker. Yeah, so motherfucker gets you an R.
Oh, it gets you an R. Okay, I didn't realize that. I'll look it up. They had a
but
book.
I'm pretty
that,
sure. At the very least, like now you can't say that without getting an R rating, which is why he got cut off the last film when he started to say it. And it made you go, what world do we live in that you can't say, that he can't say that?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Or that he shouldn't say that.
Yeah, well, he should. That's the thing. That's his line.
Yeah.
That's his bit. Okay, let me see. Die Hard rating.
Okay. Doesn't it feel like the rating system is more strict than it was before? Like, movies are, like, way too... It's, like, too much? Like, there's not as... Like, it just feels
but
like...
It
takes
like
less
I can't
to make
find
a...
Out what it is.
And it takes less to have a film rated... Restricted or made it rated.
But does it matter anymore? Does it matter anymore? Because you know,
it matters to someone.
In a heartbeat, everyone's going to be watching it.
Yeah, I realize that. But I mean, there's some group that wants to control how films are released to theaters.
Well, you can
in what
look
way.
At that movie, this film was not yet rated, and see what a dumb system the ratings board.
Yeah.
It's absolutely ridiculous. You know, there's movies that, you know, have graphic, gory guttings and all this, and then there's a movie where someone smokes pot in it once, and then that becomes like an R-rated movie.
Yeah,
Because, you know, there's that, which now is legal, so what the fuck?
It's not legal.
In California, it's not? I thought it was. Recreational marijuana use is legal in California. Am I incorrect about that?
Oh, no, you're correct. In Washington as well, in Denver.
Okay.
Or Colorado, I should say.
So when you're saying
but
it's
federally,
oh,
it's not legal. Right. So it's not actually legal.
So it's both things.
You can get arrested.
Schrodinger's weed.
You can still get arrested
yes.
for smoking marijuana in California or in Colorado.
Thanks, Trump.
It's not true.
I know, but it's fun to start saying that, isn't it?
I guess we can start saying that now, yes. So he'll get even more mad.
So was your question about Die Hard? I thought you were going with Die Hard. Like,
no, I was just thinking about the fact that, you know, for this time, like from the kind of mid-60s into the 80s, we had this like incredible run of fun where, you know, you could kind of do whatever. You could, you know, have a children's film like Bad News Bears, which is incomprehensible now.
Right.
That was a kid's film. I don't know, was it a really kids film? But anyway.
It was an all-ages movie.
It felt like, yeah, but, you know.
But a real all-ages movie.
Yeah.
Much like, if you look at, like, The Simpsons, that was an all-ages cartoon show.
Okay.
Kids like it. Adults like it. Adults get it on a level that kids don't get it. That's fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I guess. You were a kid and you saw Bad News Bears, did that look unrealistic
I was not allowed to see that film as a child.
Really?
Yeah, my parents would not let us go to see that movie. We
what
wanted to
see
it.
What was their reason?
Apparently it was crude and rude.
And lewd.
And they had an attitude.
And you dude.
That's right. So we had a couple of kids in the neighborhood snuck off to see it. They didn't tell their parents they were going to see it. They went and saw Bad News Bears. But the rest of us weren't allowed to. We were firmly told by our upright Citizens Brigade parents that no, you cannot go see that film. So, you know, it was there as a kid's film. But I'm making a romance out of the past. Like I'm sentimentalizing.
Yeah, you're forgetting all the mediocre shit.
You know, because like the time that, you know, I loved Evil Dead. I loved that movie so much. And I took you, I didn't take you to see it. We went on a date to the Evil Dead. We went and saw Evil Dead. Remember before we went down to San Jose the first time? We went and saw Evil Dead at a theater.
Didn't we see? Didn't they run both of them in a row? Or was it like one week and one the other?
I'm not sure.
I feel like I saw Evil Dead and Evil Dead 2.
We saw Evil Dead 2 first. You saw Evil Dead 2 with me. We went over to David M's house and we watched Evil Dead 2.
Really? Because I thought I saw it in the theater.
No.
Okay.
You saw it there. Because I really wanted you to see it. And
all right. Sure.
So we went and had pizza. Okay. And then we went over there and we watched the movie. And you really liked it. Mm-hmm. So then we went and saw Evil Dead. And the problem with Evil Dead was it was a Toronto cut. It was an Ontario cut. And so it was a cut. It had major parts of the film cut out of it. So I'm all like looking forward to the scene for you seeing this moment of this outrageous moment. And then it was gone from the movie. Oh, I was so disappointed. Ugh, it was terrible.
Was this the tree rape scene you're talking about?
The chopping the head off with the shovel scene.
Oh, okay.
And probably the tree rape scene.
But tree rape was in it.
Probably was out of it. Was it in there? Was it?
Yeah.
It's hard to remember now because we've seen it so many times outside of that memory that it's hard to remember what was in that version and what wasn't. But definitely the sequence where he buries her, then she comes back. That was all cut out of the film. So it was felt very weird, like here.
Yeah, that seems like a weird thing when you've got that graphic tree, tree scene, and it's like that's fine. But
yeah,
this is not
this
fine.
This is not fine.
By the way, let me just throw this out there. You know, it's one of those scenes.
To be fair, it was a graphic tree scene without that much graphicness to it.
Okay, but and also it was mandatory at the time because if you wanted to do a movie like that, you actually, and this is terrible because this is some parts of the past are terrible. You had to have a rape in your
drive-in movie. Horror, in a drive-in movie. Yeah.
That's right. So,
because I Spit on Your Grave was such a huge hit that they wanted...
They made it fucking mandatory.
They wanted to... And Last House on the Left and stuff like that were big hit movies that had...
So nowadays, when you watch them, you go, what's that about? It's like, it was mandatory. Really? But...
And Last House on the Left was a visceral remake of The Virgin Spring, the Ingmar Bergman film. Yeah, it's essentially the same movie, just much... more OTT.
Let me give a shout out right now to the Ash versus Evil Dead TV series because, you think like, oh, will they ever refer to that? The tree scene.
Okay.
And it's like they bring a character, around from that series of time.
They have a tree from H.R. Puff and stuff.
And they, have you seen this?
I have not caught up on every
Okay, well, I'm just going to say that there's two lines that they make.
Mm.
And the one of the lines is given to a person that should have that line.
One of the lines?
One of the lines about the incident is given to the person who should.
Yeah.
And it's such a good joke that you're just like, oh, good. It's just embracing the past and giving the joke and the power to this person.
Yeah.
And just like it doesn't redeem everything. It doesn't erase. And maybe you shouldn't. But it's acknowledgement. And there you go. And then there's a second joke as well. That's just like, oh, my God. Where they. Yeah. It's
I just want to
really over the top.
It's OK. They had to have that scene in the film. But I think it's to their credit that they didn't do it in a straight way, that they chose a kind of a clever way around it, where to have the forest attack her rather than her being attacked by humans. And so, and it, not that I think it's hard to talk about something being tastefully done. It shows much less than it could have and has much less, it's more suggested, than shown. And I think your memory of it is probably worse than the actual reality of it, just because it's done, it's cut in such a way that it feels like what you're seeing is, but they let the actress, they let her walk away with some dignity. I'm just saying. As much as you can have like being raped by a tree and walk away with dignity, they did allow that.
Yeah. And it's important to, when we're looking at the past with the rose colored glasses, to occasionally go, and here was an aspect of the past that we got to go, okay. And that was a thing. And
I guess,
there
but,
you are, and...
but if your choice is that it sometimes happens or that it's censored, which would you rather have?
Well, no, that's not the choice. Both instances are bad. If it's censored, that's bad.
Yeah.
And if it's mandatory, that's bad.
That's bad. Okay, mandatory. But I just mean if a movie, the reason that it became mandatory was because of other hit films that featured in it. I mean, I Spit in Your Grave,
it was mandatory because you couldn't get money to do your film unless you did that.
Yes. Yeah.
So
no,
that
I'm
is,
just saying
that's as mandatory as you get.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I'm not talking about mandatory. I'm just saying as an option in a film. I mean, when you watch Last House on the Left, it's an important part of the film that what happens to the daughter.
That's what sparks
the rest of the film. And same with I Spit in Your Grave. Without the inciting incident, then the rest of the film doesn't really...
Because they were appropriate for those movies.
Yeah.
But let me go.
And that's what makes Death Proof so great, is because it twists that it twists that desire to see something happen to people, even if you don't like them. It sets up so that you feel animosity towards people. And then it takes that it takes your feelings and throws them back in your face in a really clever way, in a really gut-churning way as well.
And then it flips everything around.
It flips everything around.
And it's like, and then...
But that is a little bit I Spit in Your Grave as well, because I Spit in Your Grave is about a person who gets attacked and then it's a revenge film.
Right, but it's the person... But in that case, it's the person who is hurt that gets the revenge.
Yes.
In this case, which I liked even better, because that's, that's okay, and that's pretty stock.
Yeah.
What I liked in Death Proof, though, was he tries it again.
Mm-hmm.
And they're better than him.
Yeah.
And in doing so, you see all his tough guy facade and everything that's the macho bullshit all melts away.
Yeah.
And, then apparently, they just take forever having fun doing what they're doing with him and completely flip it. And it's like, yeah, that's
great. Oh, it's a great film. It's a really cathartic film. And what I really like about it is that apparently Kurt Russell brought that element to his performance. Like, it wasn't in the script. And Tarantino just really liked how he went with it. So
yeah, this is one of the problems you've got with, say, your horror movies like your Jasons and your Freddy Kruegers. You know, Mike Myers, not the actor, the guy in the William Shatner mask. All this shit. All those guys. The
Inside Out Glenn.
The stocky, going, picking them all off.
Mm-hmm.
They're never scared. They never have things flipped. Mm-hmm. They're just killed.
Robots,
And then they come back later. And who cares? There's no emotional, there's nothing, the only people that feel pain and feel fear and feel whatever are the other side. And that's great when you can no, you've done something that's hurt the monster.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that's one thing that's,
But doesn't he get stabbed by close hangers in the Halloween? Doesn't Jamie Lee Curtis, isn't she able to sort of fend him off?
Yeah, but I don't think you ever get the feeling that Mike Myers is scared.
No, you're right.
You know, he's just a force that's going along.
But I think that's sort of the idea of the film, right? Is a sort of almost supernatural.
Like, it's always usually the female lead, eventually, after all the friends are dead, nice job. Couldn't have had her do it first. Goes in and does the kill, and there you are, and blah. It's fine. But you don't have the emotional thing of it's flipped.
Yeah.
And you don't make the villain the victim.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a thing. Like, that's something when you talk about Die Hard, that's nice, is when, when the villain gets his comeuppance.
Yes.
It's a bad one. You see the look of fear on his face. He gets it. He get it.
He also kills some people too before Bruce Willis is able
does.
To. Yeah. I mean, because
he's smart. He's clever. He's whatever he is.
But I mean, to give Halloween its due, I mean, Halloween was kind of set that the standard. I mean, John Carpenter did one film of that type. And did not do 13 sequels of it.
Because that's what Carpenter does. He'll do a thing.
Yeah.
He'll move on and do another crazy thing, and he'll move on and do another crazy thing. And he does not go back to Chinatown.
Yes.
And he does not go back to the Arctic.
I watched that film a little while ago, and it's a surprising film.
Big Trouble in Little China.
Yes. Because your memory of it, I hadn't watched it for a long time. I saw it in the theater when it came out, and I hadn't seen it until I watched it on TV a little while ago. And my memory of it was a lot different, because I did remember Kurt Russell playing a John Wayne sort of a character, but I had forgotten that he plays a coward.
Yeah.
And it makes it even better.
Yeah.
Because it's great. I mean, it's just great. His, just the fact that he's pretending he's brave, but it just really works.
And if you watch the mega cut on YouTube of all the times he goes, "What? Huh?" And he's just he's confused through the whole thing. He doesn't understand what's happening through the whole movie, and it's just being dragged along.
It's great. It's a great film.
Yeah, the confused dope.
It's too bad it
as your lead in your supernatural movie is a good angle. Again, going back to Ash, the confused dope, and especially in an Army of Darkness or whatever, he's just being dragged along and doesn't know what he's doing and almost makes the wrong choice. Though they did make a mistake in a scene they cut from Army of Darkness, which is when the Army of Darkness is attacking the castle. You're supposed to have them looking for Ash, and they find him hiding in a closet. And he's just like, "I don't want to do it. I don't want to." And they have to drag him out and make him fight again.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they thought that wasn't heroic enough. They're like, "No, that's even better.
That's his character.
That he's totally scared. Like, that's he's set all this up." And he's like, "No, I'm out."
I would like to do my own cut of that film.
Okay.
Because I feel
stopping you.
There's two good versions there, because they did a different cut on Laserdisc or on whatever thingy than the original film. And there's things in the original film that I thought were really quite good. And I also like things that they did in the cut, but they took out some of my favorite, one of the scenes. Oh, I can't remember now. It's been a while since I watched them both. But I feel like when they cut one version, it took out the you know, the good, bad, I've got the gun.
Yeah, there's two versions of that.
Yeah, and I feel like that's a great line. Why would you cut that out of a movie? Why? What were you thinking of? And then one of them has more business with the miniature ashes, and which I really liked. And that was the one without the good, bad, I got the gun. And so I was like, oh, can we have like a version with both those scenes in it? Like, we can have both. We can have both. Yeah, it's... I do like the alternate ending, but I feel like they did the right thing by doing a different ending for the film. The alternate ending was him waking up in the future because he took too many drops, and he just wakes up in this post-apocalyptic future, and he's just like, no, which is great because it kind of, wow, another Evil Dead film, but I don't think they had the heart to do another Evil Dead film, so they kind of went in a different direction, and that's fine too. Yeah.
Yeah, they gave it the happy ending, which you kind of want to do with your trilogy sometime.
Okay, which...
Mountain?
No.
Movie is the best? Which mountain movie?
John Carpenter films. What's your favorite John Carpenter film?
I think like the best one's probably The Thing.
I would agree with that. That falls into a film that follows its plot line right to the bitter end, like the very, very, very bitter end.
Yeah. The worst one is Ghosts of Mars.
Yes, Ghosts of Mars is not very good, although...
Which has the dumbest end line.
Which is?
Which is, it's Ice-T, time for us to kick some ass, and it's something like along the lines of, because it's what we do best. And if you watch the movie, the one thing they keep repeating is, don't shoot these things.
Yeah.
That's how they multiply.
Yeah.
Whatever you do, don't shoot them.
Yeah.
That makes things worse. And they're like, well, let's go shoot some more of these motherfuckers. Dude, you've made things infinitely worse. You're the biggest boobs I've ever seen.
Maybe that's what the movie's about, though.
A couple of dopes,
of idiots that don't know what they're doing.
Well, that's fine. He's again, that's a Big Trouble in Little China. That's a dope who doesn't know what he's doing, but he still stumble bums through it and
maybe that
gets through.
What? Okay.
Good use of Kurt Russell, by the way. Let me just say that's the greatest trick Carpenter ever played.
Yes,
making Kurt Russell great.
Yes,
in
it's
so
true.
Many things.
You're right. I mean, first to rescue him from like his Disney Disneyfication. Because
by the way, and Walt Disney apparently said that he was his favorite actor ever.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. I mean, he's really good in the films that he was in.
Computer wore tennis shoes.
The Horse in the Gray Flannel Suit. Yeah. He had a small
Mr. Now You See Him, Now You Don't. Was that one? Or...
Now You See Me, Now You Don't.
Now I don't you know see if you... Know. What was the third one? There was like Computer wore tennis shoes.
Strongest Man in the World.
Strongest Man in the World.
There you go. Yes. I mean, he did those films and he kind of ended up kind of almost sort of.
Was he Dexter? Was that his name in it?
Dexter. Yes.
Dexter. I hate you.
Dexter Morgan.
Dexter. No, I hate that kid.
It wasn't that's right, the principal.
I think you're so strong.
Joe.
When are you graduating?
What a great character actor. But against, whatever. And then.
We could go on forever.
We could go
that
on
trilogy.
Forever that. But what rescued him wasn't the thing, it was doing an Elvis. He played Elvis Presley in a kind of miniseries that John Carpenter directed. And that was the first time they worked together. And then they went from that to do, I guess...
New York?
Escape from New York. Yeah. And then The Thing, and then Big Trouble in Little China. And then later on...
Did he direct the sequel to the L.A. one? Or was that someone else?
I think that was John Carpenter. Yeah, that's John Carpenter.
Was that his only sequel?
I think so. I don't think he did a Fog 2 or a...
Which also
Return
had Bruce Campbell,
fog.
If we want to wrap this all together.
Bruce Campbell's in The Fog?
No, Bruce Campbell is in
Escape from L.A.
He is the Surgeon General.
Which I know you don't like, but I don't think is terrible.
Escape from L.A.?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, so you haven't seen it for a while.
That's true, I only saw it once.
Okay.
Because I'm not, why watch it twice?
All right, see, well, look, it depends how much...
but I enjoyed it.
Look, here's some scissors for all the slack you've got to cut on that film.
I don't know, I enjoyed it.
Where you're seeing Steve Buscemi driving in his car,
yeah.
And then next to him there's a wave, and the wave, and surfing on the wave is Snake Plissken. If that's your movie, if that's your movie, and you're all on board for that,
I'm on board for that.
Then you're on board for
I'm
that,
on board
and
for
you're
that.
Fine, okay.
I'm fine with it, because...
You're on board for...
why not?
We're going to play a basketball game and see who can sink the most baskets, and and we're going to play it forever. If that's your movie, that's fine.
Yeah.
You know? If you liked Escape from New York, and you went, I want nothing like that, but a guy dressed the same,
here's the thing.
Then Escape from L.A. is your movie.
I also like Memoirs of an Invisible Man. I think that's a very good film.
Is that a John Carpenter movie?
That's John Carpenter, yeah.
Okay. I've got no feelings either way on that film.
I haven't,
Chevy Chase movie.
Any of these movies I talk about, obviously, I've only seen one. So I can only talk about my impression of the time.
Strong opinions about them.
It's not that I have strong opinions. I think it was a good film. I watched it at the time and I thought that was really enjoyable. I enjoyed that. I didn't go and see it in the theater. I watched it on home video, but I still enjoyed that movie.
Okay. I saw it in one of those C3 movies for, you know, $2.75 situations. That's when I saw Confessions of an Invisible Man.
The film I didn't like that he did was one with Sam Neill in it. And it's kind of a H.P. Lovecraft kind of a thing where... Eugene O'Neill goes back to
Right Now Wilderness.
He goes to this town, and this is one of those films where it felt like it needed something really big happening in it, and it never does. And I wish I could remember. It's like something. I know people are yelling at me to tell me what it's called, but I can't hear.
I know,
you.
Just vamp.
But like, it has this great sequence where
your opinions, and I'll give you your facts.
Where he's into the Mouth of Madness. He's driving along this like dark highway, and he sees this weird person riding a bicycle beside him, and they just kind of look at each other, and it's very creepy and odd, and it's a good tone setter, but it never quite seems to find itself. And it's one of those films where, like, you know, you kind of set it up in such a way that we should show you the monster or whatever's happening, but we can't because we can't afford it, or maybe we think we shouldn't show it to you because you know your imagination is much worse, but the film isn't really that well directed to make it effective. And so that's my feeling about it anyway. That's, as I remember, once again, I watched it in home video.
Right. Did he do Christine?
No.
Okay. Why is Christine here?
Did he do Christine? I don't think he did. Maybe he did.
I'm still looking it up. You've got strong opinions. You should keep talking.
I remember the name of the film, but now I'm curious if he directed Christine.
Yeah.
Because maybe he did.
They Live? Was he? Did he?
Yes, They Live. Fantastic film. Right. They Live in Prince of Darkness. His double, I Have No Money, I Have No Budget, But I'm Still Going to Make These Great Films, duology.
I like duology.
The Thing would probably possibly be my favorite film, but I really like Assault on Precinct 13, I think is a great film.
I like a guy who does a lot of different stuff, you know, and he definitely, you know, kept shifting tone, you know, over and over again.
Yeah, I don't think he's afraid to do different
30 things.
There he goes.
30.
He's a working guy.
Yeah.
First film, what's it called? Black Star or something?
We're working our way
Dark Star.
We're
sorry,
working
Dark
our
Star.
Way back.
First one
Ghost
Dark
of
Star.
Mars. Big piece of shit.
Is that the last film he did?
I got that as like 2001. Can you think of another one that he's done since?
Well, no, but I can't remember anything. We're doing a podcast.
Yeah, then we got Vampires.
That's pretty good.
It's okay. It's all right. Escape from L.A.
I think
Village of the Damned.
The problem with Vampires is Near Dark is sort of a similar film and it's way better.
In the Mouth of Madness. Body Bags.
Don't know it.
Memoirs of an Invisible Man.
That's good.
So that's 92. Were people hating Chevy Chase by then or just in
Yeah, term? It was kind of a film that... Yeah, I think it kind of, his reputation sort of weighed that film down, if someone else had.
They Live, we've talked about my issues with that film, being that I had a giant poster working at the video rental place where I worked, and a guy was stealing, and they accused me of stealing, and I'd always have to add up the money at the end of the day looking at this fucking poster. And so I resented the movie, even though it had nothing to do with the movie. Prince of Darkness.
Very good.
Big Trouble in Little China. Fun.
Also very good.
Starman, there's one you forget about.
Yes, Jeff Bridges.
Christine, yes indeed.
He did do Christine, okay.
Yep. The Thing.
Hmm.
Escape from New York, The Fog, and then we're on Elvis. Then we're getting into a TV movie, Someone's Watching Me, Halloween, Assault on Precinct 13, and 1974, what's his movie?
Dark Star.
Boom.
Yeah, I could probably name fairly much in order the beginning of his career, but when you get to the later stuff, I'm a lot more off the... I was looking at Vampires. I think maybe it's on Netflix. It was somewhere. It was on Netflix or some movie thing, and I had one of those sort of things where I'm like, I should watch that film, and I thought, no, I didn't really like it the first time. Why?
Yeah.
Why watch it again?
I don't remember it being particularly pleasant.
It's just one of those films.
It was
where
just all right.
It's one of those films that feels small.
Yeah.
Like when you watch it, you're like, boy, they did not go very far, and like you kind of think something more should happen. And like I say, it feels like Near Dark is a similar film, and it's a much better movie. So why'd you do it twice, John? Don't do that. But I feel like his career is. Become sort of like, can I get paid to do this? Okay, I'll do it. You know, like, I would like to do this, but now his reputation is kind of set. And so it'd be hard for him to do a Memoirs of the Invisible Man, or it'd be hard for him to do a Christine or something where, you know, it's just, you know, he's set. You know, like, this is John Carpenter. John Carpenter is The Thing. John Carpenter is Halloween. So we can't have him do anything else but those sort of films.
Right. The most recent thing I think he did was Masters of Horror. Did an episode of that TV
show. Okay.
Did a little something in there.
Was it good?
I did not see it.
Oh. I don't really like horror, though. Yeah, you don't like horror. Yeah.
Especially I don't like horror in a TV, like, short thing.
Yeah.
Because it just feels almost always like, it's a poor person's Twilight Zone, mm-hmm. and we're just like, we're doing a big setup, and then here's the big ba-bum at the end. It's like, all right.
My favorite sort of horror is horror that...
Well, everyone seems to like Black Mirror right now. I'm probably watch that. But everyone says it's great, so good for them.
The favorite kind of horror is horror that kind of is a social commentary on something. Mm-hmm. You know, so there's an element, you know, sort of like science fiction, when science fiction is, you know, sort of a reflection of now, but in the future. And I like when horror movies do that as well, when it's a reflection of now, but in the now, you know, so it's something that, whether it's body horror or, you know, those are more enjoyable to me than just slasher movies or whatever. That doesn't really thrill me. I think partly because I'm not easily frightened. And so that kind of stuff just sort of, it's happening, but it's not really entertaining because it's just very repetitive. Whereas a film like, I don't know, Videodrome or Scanners or, what's the first one that, Shivers? Was that Shivers? The one with the...
The rabies one?
No, that's Rabid.
Yeah, was Rabid first? I think Rabid was first.
No, Rabid came after Shivers, I think. The one with the kind of slug-like creatures that are supposed to replace organs in the human body. Like, I think that's a brilliant idea for a movie. The idea that you create these creatures that are going to, you know, live inside you, and instead you become like a parasite host for these things.
There was a real time where we loved slugs in movies, right? Like Slither. We had Slither. That was the other.
Is that a slug? I thought that was a.
Yeah, it's James Head's. Not James Head. What's his name? James Gunn. Slither. You see the slugs in the collector's space in Guardians of the Galaxy too. They're slugs.
Oh, okay. And I've not seen Slither.
And there's the one, the Kyle MacLachlan movie with the slug that goes into people and changes your personality, and then you go.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
there's a slug one. There's tons of slug movies. There's yeah. I think it's just a movie called Slug.
For something that moves so slowly, it shouldn't be really that.
Yeah, it's not a real issue. Yeah. It's like you know, how do you fight this thing?
Mm-hmm.
But though in the, you know, the gun one, I believe they did move quite quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that right? They actually move. Yes. Okay.
I thought you were looking at the time because you went like, you know, it's not moving quickly.
You know, this conversation. It wasn't that. I just had this sudden panicky feeling like, did I remember to press the record button? Because thinking, oh my God, if we lost this whole show, I would be so mad because it's been a fun conversation and oh, fuck it. But no, I did remember to press it, everyone. You're actually hearing the show right now. So you got to this moment, you're like, no, Dave, you did remember because I'm listening to the show.
It's always, I have listened to quite a few podcasts where halfway through someone goes, oh my God, is this recording or not? And you want to just yell, well, we know.
Yeah, you probably can leave that out. But at the same time, it's such a charming moment that I probably will leave this in.
We're nothing if not charming. We're
nothing if not charming. You're correct. You are very correct.
No, there was a really good time for slugs. And then I think like shortly after that, people went, ah, people are sick of slugs. What do you got? Spiders. We love it. Spiders. Lots of spiders.
Were there lots of spider films?
Oh, there's big spider movies.
I remember Arachnophobia, but I remember like a lot of other.
There was that movie, Giant Hairy Freaks or something. And there's some other stuff.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That's right.
Just spider movies.
I didn't watch that one.
No, why would you?
Because I saw Arachnophobia. What do I need to watch
another movie? Yeah, spiders. It's like it's all gross out things. Spider. Yeah. What horror movies do I like? I like a horror movie that's grounded. I like the horror movie that isn't a slave to its theme. You know.
What? How do you mean by that? Like,
I mean,
how is that a problem?
Everyone is a character. I prefer character based stuff more than I prefer theme based things.
Okay.
So
you don't want an inevitability to it. Is that what you mean?
Well, yeah. If everyone's just serving the theme, and is an archetype that's just serving the story and the point that's trying to be made, that's less interesting to me than you know, you can have a theme, but it's something like, I'll just go with like a Buffy the Vampire Slayer or something like that. I like seeing characters, and they're all bouncing off each other. Mm-hmm. And they're talking.
That's a bit different, though. That's a TV series, so you have a longer time to...
But that's a similar situation with, you know, modern, you know, the Marvel movies or whatever. It's all personality. They're not horror movies, though. They're very similar in the layout. There's a monster coming. Something's coming. Mm. You know, if I took the plot of the Avengers, I could turn that into a horror movie in a heartbeat. Which is a, you know, you opened up a gateway. What came through? Loki. No, it was a demon. What did he do? The demon possessed a guy. Now he's killing guys. Now he's taking a guy's eyeball out. I can make a fucking horror movie out of that. I just have.
Do you think that's a horror film though?
It's got all the elements of a horror movie.
Okay.
And then that guy who just tore an eyeball out goes outside, forces everybody to kneel, and is about to murder an old man. It's like, that's all horror fucking things. He's got demon horns on. He's the god of fire and mischief.
Yeah.
Absolutely, you could make that a horror movie.
Well, I agree with you. I do like a horror film that is based in a situation, but something like The Babadook, which I really like that film. Where
I don't know that one, but
it's an Australian horror film, and it's basically about a woman who's lived, a single mother who has a problem child, and she's in the midst of grief. Her husband has died, and she's living through this terrible depression, trying to deal with her son who's having behavioral problems, and her whole life just feels like it's falling to pieces. And then this book comes to their house, this children's book about this creature called the Babadook, and she reads it to her son, and it begins to become reality in the house. And it's a very good film. I don't want to talk about it too much.
Okay.
But it's a really good film. And it's, you know, it's based more on psychological horror and, you know, your own, you know, your reality perception and stuff like that. And it's just, it's a good,
yeah.
And I like those sort of films where it's,
I'm going to go with, this is a weird thing. I'm going to compare it a bit to porn now because, you know, hey, you know, it's like.
I just want to point out everyone that Ian brought up porn.
Ian brought up porn.
Not David.
You know, because.
As much as I like it, I did not bring it up.
But it's sort of the same thing as like the porn that I see that I'm like, hey, that's.
That you like.
That's a good porn. I like it. It's a pornography. Have people talking at first or a little bit, you know, and
yes,
aren't just like,
yes.
You know, we're going to go to this, to mm-hmm. this, and we're done.
Yeah.
And I feel that's very
similar. I'm not
similar.
Interested in pneumatic pumping action.
Right. It feels like with horror movies, something like, say, you got a Saw movie, and it's like, we got to get to this kill, till we get to the twist, the end.
Yeah.
And that's what's going to happen in every one of these movies, and I don't care what characters you throw at me.
Yeah.
They're all going to fall in line with this, and there's no chance that anyone at any point will break out. There's no chance that anyone in the middle of the porn film is going to go, I'm not in the mood for it. What's on TV? That would just be shocking and delightful. And just like, or like, oh no, I forgot the eggs. And like having to leave.
Yeah.
And like,
that would be, that would be.
Wouldn't it? That would actually make it so much better. You know, but anything, like you want characters, at least I do. I want characters to be characters in my stories. And if the
How about
stories,
if the kids came home in the middle of their... They're frolicking. That's, and they're just like, oh my God, getting dressed really quickly.
Yeah, that's not bad. Looking. I think that would actually be kind of a delightful thing if like couples were watching that who had kids and like, oh, I relate to this so much. Yeah, exactly.
It's kind of frustrating too, though. I mean, you know.
Well, you know what you do, though. It's like then you can watch what happens later on, you know, when the kids leave.
Yeah.
You know, they come, they get their bags or whatever, and like, all right, we're off to Jenny's for the weekend. Okay, bye.
I don't really, but I mean, that's the problem with porn, though, is that no one's watching it for the story.
Do you know why?
They learned that quickly.
Because there ain't none.
Well, often there's not.
But you know what?
But even in the days when they did that.
No. I would say if you look at the popularity right now of this ain't the blank, you know, a series of films. Like this ain't Batman. This ain't the Brady Bunch. This ain't, you know, Big Bang Theory or whatever. And they,
What are these? Are these porn films?
These are porn films that are based on, you know.
So they have Harlequin.
Yeah, they have all the thing, but they play a little scene beforehand and what have you.
Yeah.
And you know, and these are incredibly popular. You know, but I think it's
with incredibly great acting.
You know what? The Batman one, they do pretty good impressions of Adam West and whatever. Anyway.
Okay.
Neither here nor there.
Yes.
You know, but there's a little bit of character stuff. But back to horror, back to action, back to anything. That also bugs me when I see, like anything, like a sitcom.
Yes.
If I see a sitcom and everyone's just an idiot because we got to get to this joke and everything's joke-driven to feed this joke, fuck it. But I like something like a Community where the characters can just sit around and just bat back and forth and talk and you're interested in there. But the joke is still going to be there and they're building towards something, but no one seems to be a slave to what's going on.
It's not just terrible insults at some other person all
That's
the time.
Right, until it's, you have a misunderstanding.
It's not Two Broke Girls.
Right, and no one can...
The meanest show on television.
Oh, it's... Why do you hate humanity, Two Broke Girls?
What's wrong with...
Yeah, it's... You know what I call it, Dave? Let me tell you what I call it. Laverne and Surly.
Nice.
Boom. Just came up with that.
Ian won the something or other.
Yeah. By the way, I believe one of them has large breasts because every third joke is about her chest.
Don't they both have large breasts?
Yeah, but it doesn't matter because only one has the gags.
Oh, only one gets the gag.
Only one gets the bits. And it's just like, what are we doing?
I'll tell you
what. What are we doing? And broken up by the guy with the thick Asian accent who's coming in just doing Asian jokes all the time. Like, what's this about?
You've watched it more than I have.
What's this about?
My only experience with that show is it being at the tail end of a recording of something.
Oh, my God. And I know there's people that like nowadays are complaining about CBC show Kim's Convenience.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, the accents are very thick and what have you. But dude, compared to, come on, these are full characters and the characters on this, it's just, oh my Lord. And I say characters.
Yeah.
They're not characters. They're just fucking joke machines.
Yes.
And I'm fine with them being joke machines because I can watch a British show where it's all archetypes and I can watch that as long as the jokes are fucking great. But you got to make your jokes so good. And they don't. And that's, you know, boo.
I can't watch any of those shows, whether they're British or not.
Joke Machine shows?
I just can't watch, yeah, I just can't watch stuff like that. This is too boring for me. I can't do it.
Someone can't watch Are You Being Served? You can't watch a little of that?
No. Do not like that
Ew,
show.
Ooh, I. No.
Cannot stand it.
Mm.
Cannot stand
Neither
it.
Neither can I. I can't take that show either.
Yeah. I don't know. I like more character driven, more, I don't know. I don't know how to describe what I like.
Yeah, I like the
idea. I know what I like.
I like a character that's as smart as you can make the character in the thing. Even if you're a dumb character, just have the character be as rich and full and surprise me every so often. Yeah. I don't want to know what the end of your thing is now. I don't. You know, I say that, and one of my favorite shows right now is Emergency, watching that again. And, you know, whenever they set up the bit at the top of the show of just like, Roy wants to take a vacation.
Yeah.
And everyone's got ideas for Roy. And you're like, well, you know what? Near the end, Johnny's going to come up with that idea. Yeah. And Roy's going to take the idea and love the idea. And then Roy's going to hate what happens. And that's what you're going to end on. You know, because that's what it's going to be.
But I've watched a lot.
In the middle of it, you get like three great rescues or nice medical twists and, you know.
Yeah.
Have the guy who got food poisoning from his sexy girlfriend's custard pies.
I don't care what anyone says. It's a good show.
It's a really good show.
I know. And then when you tell people like Rockford Files, you say it's a really good show. And people are like, huh, old show, it's stupid. Then they watch it like, oh, this is a good show.
Who was saying old show is stupid? Let's get them.
I'm just saying that's people's general idea about these shows, right?
Here's where my problem with MeTV. Which is like watching Rockford Files. It's like,
it looks terrible.
Rockford Files is going on vacation for a while.
Oh, really?
Oh, no. You know, but stay tuned for Mama's Family. Oh, is that shit going anywhere? Nope. Mama's Family's staying right where she is.
Is that right?
Like, who? Who is watching Mama's Family? Mm. Who? Who is watching that?
Enjoy your whatever it is. Ah, wish I could think of the word. It would have been funny when I said it, but I couldn't think of the word. So it didn't work.
Fix it in editing.
Didn't work. Oh, that's right. Enjoy your... constituency? No, that's not right. Fuck it. Forget it, everyone.
I'm sorry. This is making you upset.
Forget it, everybody. I don't know what I'm talking about. Yeah, Rockford Files, you know, it's just a show where you cannot get, like, unless you've watched a show. When you watch a show that they haven't seen, you cannot guess where it's going to go. Like, it'll always surprise you, like, how the twists, how his investigation goes. There's always something in it that's, you're like, oh, well, that's an interesting twist. I really like that idea.
And then you see all the writers on it and just go, oh, they all went on to do their own shows. Yeah, and amazing shows.
Like, yeah, like Stephen J. Cannell and David Chase.
You created The Sopranos after this. Yes. Oh, okay, yeah. There you go.
They created
using the same plot.
He went on to do The Night Stalker, too.
Yeah.
You
had a mob guy named Tony who didn't know if he wanted to be a mob boss anymore, and he was trying to make decisions. You know, he was having a nervous breakdown. That's a great Rockford Files episode.
I'm sure
that later becomes the Sopranos TV show.
That's right. Yeah, that's a great one. The other great one that's mob based is the one with the gay mobster who's trying to hide it from his family, and so they kill this woman in order to keep it under wraps. And then Rockford starts investigating the disappearance of his girlfriend. It's kind of a sad episode, really, all around. You know, it's just tragic.
And they're
all
fine
around.
With it being sad.
Yes, that's right. That's the other thing, yeah, that's surprising about it, right? They're fine with it doesn't always end well, you know. That's the way it goes. It's a very interesting show. Yes. I wish I could keep on watching it over and again.
As a kid, I grew up, you know, I love comics, obviously. You know, I grew up on Spider-Man, and Spider-Man, the comic, always goes, you know, one step forward, two steps back for Peter Parker.
Yeah, that's right. That's true.
Something goes great, and they're like, oh, and then this happens. Yeah. Now he's lost his apartment. This, and now, oh, this terrible thing happened. Mm-hmm. Oh, boy. He can never win. So, you know, I like, I think TV shows like that, because that's what, you know, I don't like... I don't like Charlie Brown not kicking the football every damn time. Like,
look, I don't like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Learn from your mistakes, you fool. Give me a different scenario.
Well, it's one of those things that where it works in one genre or works in one form, but it doesn't work in another. Like it works in the comic strip for whatever reason, but it's irritating in the animated ones, and I don't know why. Whether it's just too much action or it's too compressed. You know, whereas it happens in the comic strips every once in a while, but it happens in every animated cartoon, and in that terrible one, I can't remember what it's called now, but the football one.
You've got a broken spine, Charlie Brown.
Broken spine, Charlie Brown. In that one, it happens so often that it just becomes like almost like your head's exploding.
And there's one where he loses the game because she doesn't.
That's the one I'm talking about.
Yeah, and they blame him.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, well, the world's fucked then. The world is fucked.
Like, no one's blaming her. She's pulling the ball away.
You saw her do it.
Yeah. It's clearly happening.
I think why it bugs you more when you watch it on television than in the comic is in the comic you control the pacing.
I guess.
And like you just see the first thing and then by the time you get to the end, that's been 10 seconds at the most if you're a slow reader. But you've got to like, ugh, you got 2 minutes of her discussing, you know, the society and trust and feminism and whatever and all the reasons that he should, you know, trust her to like thing and then whoop, bonk.
Yes, then everyone's mad at Charlie Brown. You're just like, what kind of a world do we live in? This could happen. This is outrageous. Like, I guess when Spider-Man or Jimmy Rockford, when bad things happen to them, because you like them and because you kind of, you put yourself into their shoes, it feels real to you. It feels like your life, you know. But in that kind of situation, it just feels stupid. Like,
though something with both James Rockford and Spider-Man, what other podcasts are going to compare those to? Huh? I know, folks.
You don't need to keep selling the show.
We're getting near the end. Don't worry about it.
You don't need to sell the show.
But what I liked about both of them too is sometimes life's just not fair, and it you know, it kicks them in the ass.
Yeah,
fair enough.
Yeah,
but a lot of times it's because they were hotheads and they just rushed into something and they didn't give it enough thought and they made their own mess, and that's fair too.
Yeah,
you know, you can be a good guy and not and be, you know, and make mistakes, and then you got to fix your mistakes.
Yeah,
yeah. Instead of, you know, a lot of the other cop shows, like a Perry Mason, where Perry Mason does nothing wrong ever, you know?
No.
Straight
no,
edge, always right. Mm-hmm. Marcus Welby, I don't care. I'm going really old shows now, aren't
I? Sure, sure.
But any show that
was,
like
that. But that, just to keep it with Rockford Files, that was sort of James Garner's thing, though. Like when he did Maverick, Maverick is a flawed character. And, you know, so he's not perfect. He's a bit of a heel. And when he's in a situation, he will behave in a cowardly way sometimes. Yeah, he's a con man. And so that was part of, that was part of his appeal, is that he's, you know, he's, even though I like the Rifleman is basically like a paragon of virtue that will never go wrong, you know. But he's Maverick, or he's a straight shooter from the hip. But Rockford Files or Maverick, they were flawed characters who could make mistakes and, you know, and everyone would point it out for them. Mm-hmm. You know, whether it was their dad or their lawyer or some random girlfriend, they're perfectly happy to point out when he was wrong.
And they had flawed friends, and they were still fine with their friends being flawed.
That's right.
They would still hang around with them.
That's right.
And the friends wouldn't learn the damn lesson, and it would be okay.
I love, one of my favorite episodes is one where, early on, where Angel takes Jimmy to a chili place. And Rockford is totally disgusted by, like, this rundown chili place, whereas Angel just loves it because if chili's cheap, unlimited onions you can put onto your chili and crackers, and he's just like piling everything on because, you know, he's the sort of guy that, well, you know, if it's free, I'll take it. So he's just piling all this stuff into his chili, and it's just a great scene because it just sets up his character. You don't need to know anything more about his character than just that scene. It teaches you all you'll ever need to know about Angel in that moment. And that's good. That's good character writing, right? That's a character-driven show as well. That's another important thing about that show, is the characters are never like on some sort of one-way track to the end of an episode.
And his dad always wants to go fishing.
Dad wants to go fishing.
He wants to spend time with Jimmy, but he wants to go fishing. But sometimes Jimmy wants to talk about something, and Dad doesn't want to talk about it. So they're going to go fishing, and they're not going to talk about it because that's the relationship they had.
Sure.
So there's some things we don't talk about. And instead, we just stand fish. That's what we do. I'm like, yeah,
that's good.
There you go.
Or you go get a taco, and something's wrong with it. That's all. You know, that's another great thing. Like, you know, that was that episode where he takes a bite of the talk. He's like, he forgot the hot sauce again, or something like that, right? You know, you're just like, and that's the end of the show. You don't need to do anything more than that.
And the women on the show had personalities.
For sure.
And were very different. Mm-hmm. And you would not be able to replace one with the other interchangeably. Betty and Veronica look style. Well, they're very different personalities, Betty and Veronica. I admit that much. But you know what I'm saying? Like, you do not take them out and put them in.
Well, you had his lawyer character, Beth Davenport, who was a good lawyer. And wasn't necessarily a romantic part of his life. She was just almost like a friend, you know, that they would go out.
Yeah, he would have friends.
He would have friends that were women and you know, and help them out. And or he could just be like a jerk to them. The Lindsay Wagner one. We're really reminiscing, folks. You should watch the Rockford Files. It's really good.
But it's not on MeTV right now.
Sorry, it's on vacation.
But luckily, Mama's Family's on there.
It's probably on YouTube.
Remember when they had them all on Netflix? Oh, good days.
That's how you sucked me into going to Netflix, is you told me the Rockford Files is on there, and I'm like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, they were all on there.
So I signed up, and then they got rid of it. And I'm like, I hardly watched any of these before it was done.
Well, that was your fault.
Jerk.
Too slow.
Too slow. Yes.
Now you got the Crown. That's sort of like it.
Mm.
You know, she's trying her best. She's, you know, got some problems trying to rule the world.
It's not a bad show.
Yeah. I haven't seen it really. I've just heard
it
endless. Look, I've heard so much Crown talk.
That you feel like you're a member of the royal family.
Yeah. I've heard that talk so much.
Yeah. You just want to be called Prince Ian. from now.
Do you think they're going to go with Helen Mirren for the later seasons? Because they're going to do her whole life in like
decades. I would really like it if they did that.
I don't see
that.
How they don't.
I mean, like, there's no guarantee.
Who do you go to?
Is Helen Mirren going to do it, though?
She's already dressed as the queen all time. Like, she dressed, like, how many things has she played the queen in?
One movie.
No, not one movie.
Yeah, the queen.
No, others. There's much, much more.
She played one movie.
Oh, God damn it.
The queen.
She did it in a freaking play. She's done it in a thing. She's made little references to it in other movies. I'm not even going to look it up. Nope, she's played,
how would I know
she's
about
played
a play?
The queen much more.
How would I know about a play?
How would you know about
a
play?
Yeah, I don't. This it wasn't. Was it here? Did it tour in Vancouver?
What do I have access to that you do not have access to in the world?
Apparently,
what magical devices do I have? Am I a wizard, sir? Are you a hobbit? No, we're both wizards.
Well,
we
yeah,
have access
but
to our magical
one
screens.
Of us spends more time on IMDb looking up Helen Mirren, and that
just
would be
now.
You. That would
yeah,
be you,
right.
Sir.
Well, she's very
you know
pretty.
That she's in a. She's very pretty.
Yeah,
I really liked her in Scalibur. Oh Lucky Man.
Oh, okay, very
yeah,
good.
Very good.
Very good. All right.
It's a good movie too. If you have not seen Oh Lucky Man, I recommend it. With Malcolm McDowell, Lindsay Anderson film, kind of part of the trilogy with If, Oh Lucky Man, and then Britannia Hospital, I think it's called, which is kind of a bit of a misfire. It's one of those sort of films where you're kind of like, I see what you're going for, but Oh Lucky Man, it's got some problems, but it's a pretty good film. It has some scenes that I really like a lot, and then some scenes where you're like, I don't know what's going on.
Let me ask you this as we're getting towards the end.
We're never near the end. This show is like one long comedy. You could take our show and play it from number one to number 260, and it would just feel like you had the longest.
You would hear our voices age.
Yeah, maybe so.
Yeah. And you'd also go like,
my voice was higher.
Why is Ian's voice sound weird now? It sounds like he's got a beard. It's like, yeah, I think he's got a beard.
By the way, you grow one of the best beards. You do. Like, you always look good. You look great with a beard.
Well, thanks. Okay.
You do.
All right.
You've always, you had a beard when you were younger as well, and you look great.
I've grown random beards at various times, yeah. And then when I complete a project or something as a treat, I will shave the damn beard off.
Oh, is that right?
And I'll stop having to, scratch my face all the time. But
you don't like having a beard?
It's okay, but you touch your beard too much.
Okay.
It's too much of that.
You do that Mel Gibson stroking the beard
God,
thing?
Oh, God, way too much. You can't not.
Yeah, it's there.
Yeah.
Can't help yourself.
Here's my question
as we careen off the runway,
Sully style into the river.
Let's pretend that we are landing our corsair. This is Baba Black Sheep. We're landing our corsair on the what are those things are called?
Those things.
Aircraft carrier.
Carriers. Yeah. All right. So people are out there and they're having their Christmas practice dinner tonight or what have you, or family dinners.
Yeah.
What is?
Why don't we call it Thanksgiving? It is Thanksgiving. They created it. They can have it.
Sure, you can have it. Enjoy. Hope it was good. When you're having a family dinner,
yes,
big group, and you all gather around perhaps the TV. What is a good movie for a whole family to watch at once? Mm-hmm. As a family man. Now this is like other relatives are there too.
Yeah.
This isn't just your cool family where you guys can like watch some real interesting twisted stuff and everyone's like, I'm with you, Papa.
Yeah.
You know,
come on, Dad, let's watch Ash vs. Evil Dead together.
There you go. Oh my God. Is he going up that guy's rectum? Yes, he is.
We do watch that together as a family.
Yep. There we go.
That's a good question. Like if my mom and dad were there, you mean?
Mom and dad, maybe a couple of neighbors too. Maybe a couple of neighbors, where they're casual friends of the family.
So what you're saying is what film would you like to ruin? Would you like ruined by a lot of people talking through it and
well, they can talk
a lot of noise,
maybe a little
stuff
bit
like that. Here's
it.
The movie for everyone. Sound of Music is the family film that everyone will enjoy, young and old.
You're probably not wrong.
For sure I'm right.
That was that and Wizard of Oz were the ones that were always playing during the holidays.
Yeah. Wizard of Oz is a good one too. I was thinking Wizard of Oz, but I like Wizard of Oz too much to throw it to the lions like that. I'm going to give Sound of Music the nod.
Okay.
Because I'm not as big a fan of that film, mostly for personal reasons. It's a perfectly fine film. It's a very well-made movie. It's a good musical.
And
has good
nowadays,
songs.
They've got the new version that's a little, for now.
What do you
and
mean?
So what happens in it is when the Nazis show up.
Yeah.
What's the guy's name? The captain. What's his name? The
captain.
Is his name Captain? The Christopher Plummer character.
Yeah, Captain Spaulding.
Captain. Yeah. He says. He says to everyone.
The African explorer.
Family. The Nazis are here. I say we give them a chance.
Von Trapp would have been.
I say
name.
We give them a chance.
Okay.
Let's hear what they have to say. Let's just give them a chance.
Give them a chance.
See what policies they lay down.
But they're giving Nazi salutes.
Well, they're Nazis. They would.
Oh, okay. That's fine.
Any salute the Nazi gives is technically a Nazi salute. So they have
right.
no option
right.
there.
Okay.
Let's be fair.
Sure.
To them.
But did you see some of the programs they're wanting to bring in?
What was that? What's their programs? Wait, are we still allowed to sing?
That's not anymore.
Okay. Are the cabarets? Are the cabarets still allowed to be
open? Cabarets are
gone.
No, the cabarets are gone.
What? Well, what about Joel Grey? He's done. What happened to Joel Grey?
You don't want to know.
Oh man.
You don't want to know. It's a sad story.
Okay. Fair enough.
Yes. The Weimar Republic was one thing, but once the Weimar Republic, it's kind of we're kind of the remnants of the Weimar Republic that are that were having a good time, having a lot of fun, making fun of political people, mm-hmm. having a lot of fun, having laughs, thinking we're real clever, thinking mm-hmm. we're real funny. Ooh, the chickens have come home to roost.
Do you think, though, let me just ask you this, and sorry to tangent on this.
Sure.
Do you think Trump, let me just ask you this about Trump. Do you think that he's a bit of a dummy?
No, I don't.
You don't? You think he's smart?
I'm not going to say he's like a smart person, but I think he's a cunning or wily person.
Do you think he's cunning and wily?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, I disagree.
I think he knows how to read people.
Do you?
Yeah.
So when you invite the media, when you go to a meeting with the media and you have them all sat down,
yeah.
and you say to them, you guys weren't fair to me. You guys weren't fair to me.
Yeah.
And
that's a very good thing to do. It's a very smart thing to do.
Is
because,
it?
Yes.
That seems like the stupidest thing I've ever seen.
No, it's not.
All right, tell me why it's not.
It's not because you create in the mind of the media
a
sense they're on the defensive now, right? He's attacking them. So now they're gonna be thinking about that while they're doing it. Whether they want to.
He's attacking them. Do you think he's attacking them there? Because what he's saying to me is like, because I think what he's
it's a psychological attack.
Okay,
it's the same way like during
he's saying you're not being fair to me.
Mm-hmm.
You're hurting me.
Yeah,
that doesn't seem to me as like you know you better watch your step.
Yeah,
he's saying well maybe he is in a way saying that, but it feels like
he's not saying you better watch your step. What he's saying is that you're not being fair.
Yeah.
You're not being fair. You are unbiased journalists mm-hmm. who are supposed to be reporting the news.
Right.
And you're turning the news into one long editorial piece.
Okay.
And that's not fair to me. That's what he's saying.
Okay.
And so now they're going to be thinking in their minds, are we being fair? When I'm writing this story, am I being fair to Donald Trump? I'm not being unfair to him. I'm pretty sure this is unfair. So they're thinking about that all the time. The same way when you are going into the playoffs as mm-hmm. a team and you subtly criticize the referees.
Right.
You don't come out and say the referees are unfair because that would be too much for. But you kind of subtly set a thing where you're like, well, I really hope during these playoffs they're going to be calling such and such that you know the other team have issues with.
Right.
And so you set that in the mind of the officials of the league that this is something that you're thinking about. And now they're thinking about it, even if they don't want to think about it. It's something that's in their mind. I think that's a clever thing to do, actually.
I wonder. It feels like, again, I was never around during the Nazi times. I'm a little too young. But I just, the idea that, you know, I get the blaming someone else for your problems.
Okay.
I get the reason that things are bad is because these people are taking the stuff that you want and it'd be better off if they didn't. And I'm going to fight for you over them, even if they're not. I got that. It just feels like so often that he comes across as the thinnest skinned guy when he's supposed to be coming across as the strong man. Right. And so he's coming across as, you guys, like if you're going up and your angle is this isn't fair, mm-hmm. guys, Saturday Night Live's not fair, guys, the media, you're not fair, you're not being fair.
Mm-hmm.
Do people then go, we should be more fair?
No.
Do you think that?
But it's not
Do you think that how that protects him then is the people out there when they see him criticized next go, oh, this is the unfair.
That's right.
Saturday Night Live.
That's right. Exactly. It's not directed at Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
It's not directed at Saturday Night Live. It's directed for his constituency outside.
Yeah.
I use the word right there, folks. It's directed to his constituency outside of Saturday Night Live.
That seems so much. It's not more clever than I think.
It's not a weakness though. Like to people outside of that, it's not a weakness. He's calling out the liberal media for their liberal bias. Like, I don't think you cannot make direct.
When he's complaining about the protests,
and then
hours later goes, this is great, the protests. Then it's like, what's he doing there?
Yeah.
Like, that to me is just a guy who's, you know, like on the surface, it feels in over his head.
Yeah.
Used to being the boss of everybody. Used to people kissing his ass.
Sure.
Now people aren't kissing his ass.
Yeah.
And so he's trying to find a way to go, come on, guys, it's not fair. Because he's a little rich boy. And how he got his stuff in
the past is,
it's not fair.
No, I don't think
but
that's.
But anyone that says it's not fair, eventually they're going to be going, yeah, life ain't fair. And you're in a position where you've got all the power.
Yeah.
So for you two, when you were rising up and saying it's not fair when you're in the debates, okay, fair enough. Maybe you're getting screwed. But you won. You're now president. You've gotten the most power of anybody.
Yeah.
You're the most powerful.
Well,
I know, but in theory, that's the thing.
Yeah.
You're leading the most powerful country in the world,
okay.
In theory. You've got the most powerful job, in theory.
Yes.
If you're the guy saying it's not fair, that just seems to come across as sour. I don't know if people will buy that.
That's fine.
And did Hitler ever
but
go,
you aren't...
it's not fair. People are being mean to me. Quit it, guys.
I'm sure he did.
Quit it. Stop
I'm sure
being
he
mean.
Did. I don't know all of Hitler's history, but I'm sure that during his career, he was, once again, another thin-skinned person. He was a thin-skinned person.
Oh, I understand, which is why all the parody of him, you know, was good, because it's, you know, he doesn't like seeing himself represented like that.
Are you talking about Hitler or are you talking about...
Yeah, I'm talking about Hitler, yeah.
Well, I guess, but, I mean...
I know, the whole thing is satire. It didn't fucking do anything. But
yeah,
I mean,
that's a problem with satire.
But it, you know what? It didn't stop at
it's
all.
Like that,
but,
it's like that moment in Manhattan where everyone's talking. They're like, oh, there was a great op-ed piece in the New York Times today about this neo-Nazi rally in you know, in New Jersey. And then Woody Allen says, you know, New York Times op-ed pieces are fine, but I think, you know, bats and bricks is more, you know.
To be fair, you can do both, yeah.
There was a scene in the film where it had the neo-Nazis being attacked by people with bats and bricks.
Oh, is that right?
You know, just a very quick clip, which was not put into the film, but it was still kind of an interesting thing. And, you know, that's...
I guess my thing is he what he seems like? Or is there a second layer?
Well, no one's what they seem like.
No, but is he what he's presenting himself like, which is the thin-skinned, weak guy?
No, he...
Okay, but let me just finish.
There's a difference between thin-skinned and weak.
Let me just finish the thing. And then you tell me. I'm open to hearing your thing. Because right now he's presenting himself as this thin-skinned, weak guy who didn't realize he was going to be elected and is way in over his head. That seems to be all the signs, is way in over his head. Okay. And so how he's reacting is like the spoiled rich guy going, it's not fair, Bridezilla style. You know, this is my special day. Don't ruin it for me. It's my special day. When he was saying the thing about pictures, you're using unflattering pictures of me with the double chin. Why not use these nice pictures of me? I mean, that kind of shit, right? That's just Bridezilla shit.
Yeah.
So either he's that guy who's the thin-skinned, in over his head, egomaniac, who thinks it's all about him, or he's got the second level where he's going, I'm laying pipe that I'll be able to pay off later. So whatever they say to me, people will go, oh, they're not being fair to him. Poor guy. You know, that's...
Well, I think it can be both. But I don't think... I just want to correct you one thing, because I don't think he said, I'm over my head. So
I'm reading the meeting with Obama where the scale of the job was more than he thought it was.
Did he say that?
That's what Obama said about Trump, and Trump said nothing in reply to that, which is why why Obama is now going to be giving him extra, basically, training.
Yeah.
Because he didn't realize, according to people there's a lot of shit
everyone,
going on.
Take a drink, everyone.
According to people who were there, he didn't realize he had to replace the entire staff for one thing.
Okay.
They laid out the global situation in a way that was more than he expected it to be.
Yeah.
And so, so Obama's giving him extra training.
Okay.
Okay. So that's where I feel like he got the over my head.
I can see, yeah. Gee whiz.
Eh. That's what you get in the apocalypse, brother.
I still feel like, I'm sure there's lots of this that he's not a trained politician. That's not his interest at all, obviously. He ran, for whatever reason, he ran to become president, probably because John Oliver dared him to on The Daily Show. And
Obama made fun of him at that
one. Obama made fun of him. And now both of them are eating, I hope they're both eating their hats.
I mean, it realistically feels like, you know, it was a good publicity thing to do, and it was going to feed into this TV station.
Okay.
He was going to.
I think we're reading in our own stories into this as well.
When he's got a plan, like for sure, he was going to start Trump TV.
Okay.
He was announcing Trump TV was coming out after this if he didn't get elected.
Yeah.
So he did have this plan in place.
And it could still happen once he's done.
In 4 years.
Yeah.
Okay, sure.
I mean, it could still happen, right? I mean, Trump TV doesn't mean it's done for forever.
Okay.
You know, and I don't think he'll go more than 4 years. I could be wrong.
It's a very different
nowadays
situation.
Nowadays, it seems like if you do a half-decent job, you will get reelected.
It's a very different situation setting up a TV station, though, where you can go, the system's rigged, which is basically what the TV station would have to have been, was like, you know, his whole thing was things are rigged against you.
Yeah.
You know, I'm the opposing force. But once you've been the president, you can't be the opposing force. You know, starting Obama TV that'd be a very strange thing to do.
It depends what you want your message to be on Trump TV.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think that it's, you know, necessarily done forever. And I think that a lot of what we talk about with Trump is we're reading in our own story, and we're making our own stories up and kind of applying them to what's happening right now. And maybe it's a way for us to understand what's happened. Mm-hmm. It's easier for us to make a kind of mythology that makes sense of this crazy thing that's happened that no one expected. Like, there's no way on Tuesday of a couple of weeks ago, when I walked into our friend's house for our election night fun, that I thought I was going to walk into a funeral. But that's what I walked into. It was already done. Yeah. As soon as I walked in the door and looked at the, because we were a little late, we got there at 7. As soon as I walked in the door and looked at where the votes were falling,
right,
I just said, oh, it's done.
Right.
It's already done. Like, I don't care what they're saying. They might be pretending that it's going to last longer to keep our interest, but it is done.
Right.
And so, you know, it's just a sad, sad night because you're having this totally unexpected thing happen. And then you have to try and make sense of that thing. So you start to read other media and get their take on what's happened and try and understand. And they're doing the same thing because all of them are wrong.
Right.
So everyone is trying to understand it and they're creating, you know, and so you have videos of like, look how uncomfortable Trump is. Obviously he's, you know, I'm so happy that he's uncomfortable because I hate the fact that he's president. So you have this sort of Schadenfreude kind of element to it, you know, where you're just like, well, I hope he's not enjoying this because I'm not enjoying that he's president. So he better not be enjoying the fact that he's president. Right. You know, so we're kind of creating these stories to try to make sense of this stuff.
But if you just take what he said, like just the quotes,
yeah,
just quotes from him.
Well, what didn't he say though?
Well, that's the thing. But there's been very little that he said that's been comforting, I think, even to the others, even to the side I disagree with.
Yeah.
Like, there's been nothing, you know, it's like, well, what did you want to do? Well, we wanted to arrest Hillary because that was the thing. Lock her up. We're not going to do that.
Yeah.
Okay, well, global warming is bullshit. No, I kind of believe in global warming now. Oh, okay. Okay, well, we're going to do this. Well, now we're not going to do that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So it's the typical that. But then I think we've never had this before, which is the direct line to the president's thoughts. You've never had Obama at 3 a.m. going, you know what makes me sad? You know, this. Sigh. You know who's mean? You know,
yeah.
Postal workers that won't deliver all the way up to your mansion wall. You know, whatever the fuck it is, right? So you're just taking his tweets and just his tweets alone. You just read those and just go, wow, he doesn't seem very happy. He seems very...
And the other thing is, it's weird, he copied one of Richie Rich's tweets. That whole mailman thing. I read that in Richie Rich's book a couple months ago.
How do we make money? Selling grit.
Must have been a retweet.
But like today, he went, you know, working very hard, you know, even on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Doing this thing.
Yeah.
Okay. And you're like, all right. You just read that and you're like, you can just take it. I don't know how you take that.
Sure.
But like the only way I can take it is he's going, guys, I'm working on Thanksgiving. You should really thank me for this. It's such a passive aggressive thing. Just
maybe.
I'm working. Like just the president.
Maybe it's just his
like
daily
imagine
diary.
Obama came on. Like on a Twitter.
Yeah.
And Obama went, guys, I'm working really hard right now, even on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And I'm saying this with a little in my voice. I'll just say it seriously. Working very hard right now, even on Thanksgiving, to get this job done.
Yeah.
Happy Thanksgiving. If you said that, everyone would just be all just like, well, of course you're fucking working on Thanksgiving. You're the president.
Well,
they'd be all up in.
It's partly that, or it's partly, guys, I'm working hard. You elected me and I'm doing my job.
Yeah, but why do you say that? That's just a
because
weird thing to say.
He's an egomaniac.
Imagine if you,
he's a narcissistic
job, or my job, or anybody's job, go up to your boss and just go, hey, boss, I'm working hard.
By the way, that's how you get ahead in your job is by being obvious and sucking up to your boss.
No, wait a second. This is bullshit. No, this is what it is.
Okay.
It's your boss coming out and go, hey, fellas out there working on that thing. I'm working hard.
Yeah.
Okay. Bye.
Yeah.
Letting you know your boss is working hard.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then what do you think of your boss? Do you think, good for my boss working hard. It's good that he's giving me updates on that he's working hard.
Yeah. It happens though in a workplace.
Yeah. But then what do you have to say to him? You have to go, thanks. That's the only thing you can
say. Have to say thanks.
Yes, you do. What do you stare blankly at him when he goes, I'm working hard?
You know, like, it's usually accompanied by something like, man, we're busy. I'm working super hard. Like, I know it feels disorganized right now, but it's coming together. I'm getting everything. Pretty soon we're going to be running 100% again.
Okay, well, that sounds like the boss is making excuses.
Yeah.
That boss sounds like something went wrong.
Sure. But I think, I mean, we know Trump's character, that he is an egomaniac, that he is a narcissist, that, you know, that's a part of him. And so he's going to be using Twitter differently than Obama did, who was a different personality. He was not, I'm sure there's elements of him that is vainglory, loves glory.
Yeah, to run for president?
Exactly.
Of course
yeah.
you have to have an ego on you the size of a house.
Yeah, and
of course you do.
And I'm not going to knock someone for that. the fact that it's a kind of a negative characteristic for Trump is that it was for, or Obama was able to hide it better than Trump is.
Yeah, I guess my bottom line
like
is
a big giant like open sore. Yeah,
you don't even like before you would have to put a spin on something.
Yes,
you'd have to go like, well, what did he say? Well, what he really means is this.
Yeah,
but like if you just take what he says as what he says,
yeah.
Then you're like, oh, like that's just that on its mm-hmm. own is that.
Yeah,
you know, and I guess I'm wondering, you know, if people out there feel that, you know, that there is a Machiavellian second layer that is like, no, he's really planning this other stuff. Or is it just a guy going, I'm going to say everything that's on my mind. I'm just going to tell you everything in my noodle.
I think
you guys were mean. You guys were mean to Pence for scolding him at the end of that thing. Shame on you. You guys should apologize.
Well,
I'm going to write two more fucking tweets about Hamilton.
But that's something that they do in politics all the time. I mean, it's called misdirection. Like you right now,
that's Machiavellian.
Right now they're,
then.
Yes.
You're
right now they're
smarter than it is.
They just, you know, voted against gay rights.
Yeah.
But what's all the news? It's all about Hamilton.
So
and
you
the fact
think
that
that's the angle? You
it's always the angle.
More
hey, here in
you're giving him a lot more credit than I am. I think he's just a guy.
You
who's
don't
just
drive.
Like, yeah.
But we just got announced that, and they tried to hide it. But our insurance corporation of British Columbia is going to be hiking car insurance rates.
I pay
by
insurance.
42. Okay, there
do
you go.
Have a car
by 42% over the next 5 years. Yeah. While they that came out.
Yeah.
They also announced a luxury car penalty. So for those 3,000 drivers in British Columbia who happen to drive very expensive cars, don't worry, folks. We're getting them. We're going to double their rates.
Yeah.
So that's misdirection,
so it's
right?
So what you do on the news is then you see the images of the beautiful cars.
Yeah.
Because that's visually better. Or, so that's the
and
thing.
Then we also, but it's also a fucking racist, right? So because we know that the people
who
are driving the car are rich
Chinese
kids.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. But do you really think that in Trump Tower, here's what happened?
It's not just Trump though. No, he is surrounded by people who are telling him to do stuff. That lady with the terrible Bell's palsy.
So you think at Trump Tower, here's what's going on.
Yeah.
Listen, we're gonna cut back gay and lesbian rights, Mr. President. Okay, what should I do? All right, here's what we're gonna do.
Okay, no,
I think what
like
you
that,
should do is try three times about Hamilton.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then get rid of four times, but erase one of them. And that's what we're gonna do. And this is gonna be our clever distraction.
Sure.
It's like,
I don't think it's quite that orchestrated, but I do think it is. Yes, I do think that
okay,
they are.
Okay, so you think that there's Machiavellian undertones.
Mm-hmm.
So you think he's more
clever. I always think there's Machiavellian undertones.
Very good. So that was my question off the top.
Yeah.
You think there's a second level to the guy and that he's more clever, and I think we're getting the full surface, and that's what we're getting.
It's just
getting.
A big open wound that
doesn't
like to get prodded.
I think he's a big open
wound,
and if you want to know how to deal with him and, you know, and fight what he says and whatever, he's going to tell you everything. I think he is the supervillain who's got you sat down, is going to tell you his whole fucking plan.
There, you just called him a supervillain, though, so you're implying that there is some underlying plot that he's keeping you from knowing about.
Well, the things that he has proposed are villainous.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, and he is literally a superpower.
I agree with you.
He is literally a superpower. So he is a superpower with villainous intent.
He is not a superpower. He is in charge of a superpower.
He is in charge of a super. That's right. He is the head of Hydra.
Yes.
He is not Hydra. You're correct.
I mean, if
he is Blofeld, but he is not.
But let's face it. If it was a Democratic majority in the House and the Senate, he would be a lot weaker than he is. It's the fact that there's some sort of a horrible alignment of planets right now that's going to allow these sort of conservative reforms to sweep through politics right now, and it's going to be very chilling for the next 20 years.
Right.
For us to live through this time.
Right.
Basically, what we're going to live through is going to be worse than the 50s. Because at least in the 50s, you could go to a freaking strip club and get a blowjob. That's all going to disappear soon. You know, it's just going
to
live in this world.
But you do that to take your mind off your polio. So at least we don't got that.
This repressive time. I mean, what I mean is that, you know, there's a time when, you know, even during the 50s, when everything was buttoned down and so perfect, so-called, there still was like an underclass of beatniks and whatnot that kind of kept the fun rolling. And, you know, I'm hopefully that can still keep happening.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It would be interesting if Nixon had who wasn't as bad comparatively speaking, but if you had Nixon who actually had, you know, access to a megaphone and could tell everyone his thoughts 24 hours a day and see what would happen.
But he was very thin skinned too.
Oh, he's absolutely thin skinned, but there was no way of finding that out until, you know, he happened to record everything he fucking said. And, you know, this guy doesn't even have to record everything he says. He broadcasts everything he feels.
Yeah. I'm not saying that he's a great thinker. I don't think he's like a wise person or a sage man or whatever, but I think he's a very wily person who you know, and who has...
He can read a room well. He's a good salesman.
He's a salesman.
He's a guy...
Can like, read people.
When you were an encyclopedia salesman, you know, I don't think the best salespeople are the smartest people, but they're people who can read a room and just go, mm-hmm. what are they mad at? Yeah. What's their angle? What buttons can I push? Sure. Got it. Okay, sure. Here we go. The only problem is when you've got two people in a room, now you got three people in a room, and I got to like keep pushing. I'm like, we're going to do this. I thought you said you were going to do that. Well, we're not doing that, but we're going to do this. But we're going to have this. But I thought you said that. Well, yeah. That and this and blah, blah,
yeah. I mean, are Trump supporters now going to go be very disappointed because he's going to basically not do any of the things he said? He's not going to build a wall.
No, but what they're
going to... He's not going to, you know...
Well, the wall, you might be able to put some lip service to that.
I seriously doubt they're going to mess with abortion.
We'll see.
Through him. I mean, the Republicans, I mean, yes, there are people who are gung-ho about this.
Yeah.
But also, there's lots of Republicans who aren't gung-ho on it. So
I saw one where it was
it could get really terrible. You're right. It could get really terrible in the next, I think, next 20 years.
This is what I'm kind of really curious. Okay, but it's really terrible, but you need to then know what you're dealing with. And if you're dealing with Machiavellian, then you deal with Machiavellian different than you deal with straight shooter talking some shit.
Mm-hmm.
And like, okay, if straight shooter talking some shit, that's a different situation.
But the problem with him is you don't really know what he believes.
Well, he doesn't.
Like if you look
He's a salesman.
If you look at old interviews with him, he comes across as a very liberal, very center person.
Yeah.
When he ran for Republican, he obviously saw a gap where he could sell mm-hmm. a kind of a, you know, this a very phony nationalism and, you know, sold.
He loved Hillary. He thought she'd be a great president back when she was running against Obama.
Yeah.
She'd be great.
Yeah.
And then she was, by the time it, you know, got to the end of the campaign,
yeah.
she was literally the devil.
Yes.
People are screaming, lock her mm-hmm. up. Now it's over. She's a great person.
I believe you mean Hitlery Kilton.
There you go. And now she's not Crooked Hillary anymore. She's great. Yeah. She's fantastic.
Yeah.
Like, if you look at any of his interviews, he is saying exactly what the interviewer wants to hear.
Yeah.
You know, but then that's an interesting angle though then.
Yeah.
If that's the angle, then that's the angle you play and just go, "Oh, then you've got to change who he's listening to because if he'll say anything that you want him to say, that's a power and you've got to realize what that power is."
I guess if he's serious. You know what I mean, right? If it's just a facade, then it's meaningless. You can have him say anything. And I think he would say anything. And then just do whatever he was going to do anyway.
Right. But I don't think he was going to do anything anyway. Like, that's my real belief is he honestly didn't think this was going to happen. He believed that 30% thing just as much as everyone else.
Okay.
And then this flip. Like, there's an interesting thing. What's the name of the woman who is his spokesperson?
I can't remember her name.
All right, let's call her.
I just feel so sorry for her. But
let's call her, you know, Sarah. So Sarah's there.
Yeah.
And the media was asking.
First name Kay.
Yeah, the media was asking one of his other head communicating guys who was next to her. Mm-hmm. And they were saying, so Trump's going to be going on tour. And I was like, yep, we planned a victory tour.
Yeah.
We planned of all these states where he did this. And then she leans over to the guy and goes, it's a thank you tour. It's a thank you tour.
Yeah.
It's a thank you tour to say thank you to all the... And it's like, no, it ain't.
Yeah.
Like, he's been told it was a fucking victory tour. And that's the shit you got to listen to and just go, okay, they're going to tell you.
Yeah.
And my hope is that they are so arrogant that they will tell you exactly what they're going to do. And that's, mm-hmm. if you're going to fight it, that's how you fight it.
Sure.
Is you actually just fucking listen.
Yeah, if you can fight it.
Yeah. And try not to make assumptions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can if you want. And you can think that they're smarter than they are or they've got a second or third level to this and they're brilliant. But, you know, none of these people involved have been brilliant before. And we've seen most of them before. You know,
but
and
I feel the same way about the left, though. And I feel like,
oh, yeah, yeah.
I feel like the left has already played into Trump's hands by having riots and destroying public property, which only makes, you know, average working Joes who go to their job every day and work a boring job and bring home the money
mm-hmm.
so they can barely afford to live the life that they would like to live. It just makes them feel resentful against those people, and it does not warm their hearts to the left.
How is the amount of riot compared to the amount of just peaceful protest? Like, what's the balance on that?
It doesn't matter.
It does matter.
What you see...
No.
What you see is a riot, though.
No, fuck that. Because what you see is, if you're a person who's in the States,
yeah.
and you're a person who, you know, is Latino or you're gay, or you give a fuck about human rights in any way, shape,
yeah.
or form, you're right. It was a funeral on Tuesday. So you're
yeah.
sitting there and you're seeing the funeral just going, oh my God, America's like this.
Yeah.
And seeing people pour into the streets and go, no, yeah, we're not like that.
That's very good.
That's very, very good.
Unfortunately, that's not what sells on the news. Mm-hmm. So what you see on the news isn't the peaceful protests. What you're seeing is the rioting.
I saw more of the peaceful protests, but okay.
But you live in a different country. You actually got to see Bernie Sanders because you lived in Canada.
Yeah.
If you lived in the United States, you did not know who Bernie Sanders was until a bird landed on a podium.
Yeah.
Then you knew who Bernie Sanders was. Before that time, you saw nothing of him. You didn't see any of his speeches. You didn't see any coverage of him at all.
So in
Canada, we knew who he was. Yeah. In the United States, they had no idea who he was.
Clearly,
unless you actively seek out.
The media has failed. That's absolutely true. And it feels like...
fail all the time.
Okay, but it could. But it feels like then, if you're a smart business person, then you're going to be like going, hey, you know what? There's a market for it right now. There's market for media that people can trust.
Sure. You know, it's all over YouTube.
It is all over YouTube, but then you've got to then package it in a way that can be consumed easily and easily digested because it's too spread out.
Yeah.
So if someone is smart, they will do that and they will become that.
Do a news channel on YouTube.
Or whatever, yeah.
Or on cable.
Yeah, what have you.
It's possible. I mean... Personally, I think that CNN tried that for a while and their ratings dropped to the point of near death.
Right.
And so they took a different tact, and that's why it became a Donald Trump promotional network, because they saw Fox News doing well with that same tactic, and so they just adopted it, you know, because that's what sells.
Yeah, it feels like whenever
bad news sells.
Whenever I go onto CNN, all I'm getting is a balanced amount of people arguing with nobody going, nothing in the middle that just goes, and here's the math on that,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it feels like, well, you can instantly find out this shit.
Yeah.
So let's just, at the end, I don't mind the debate. Yeah. Great. That's fantastic. And after 20 minutes of this fucking shit, let's just bring out the facts and go, okay, breaking it down. This is this and this and this and this and this and this. So just, you know, let's at the end figure it out. You can't have a game show where, you know, at the end of Jeopardy, you know, every answer is like, maybe.
Yeah.
I guess you all won. Well, good night. It's like at the end, you know, whatever the fucking answers are real, and some are, some aren't opinion, some are just fucking fact. Someone's got to call that shit.
But facts are even.
But if you're where people go for facts, you will make money. If you're where people can trust going for facts, you will make dough. You know, and there's money to be made here, and I think that's the salvation on that, is there's people are craving this thing.
I love your idealism.
No, it's not idealism. It's fucking it's money. Idealism means they'll be doing it for the right reasons. Mm-hmm. I think there's a financial opportunity out there that's clear.
Yeah.
You know, and if someone can step in.
Maybe. I mean, why hasn't someone done it yet? That's the question, though.
Because there was no need for at least the last 8 years. Yeah, They got enough safety blanket that they felt they were safe. And then it's like it got totally pulled away from them. So we'll see.
Maybe they want... maybe that's true. Maybe people need that feeling of it's not all falling down around us.
Here's what I think is the salvation. Claymation animation. I think people just need to have all these things acted out.
Spend a lot of time.
Yeah, people trust claymation animation. Okay. They like the feel of it.
Yeah.
Like even just Rankin Bass style.
So if you just had like Rudolph's Happy Election, then that would be, I don't know.
Absolutely. I think that would work. Get yourself. And you know what? Bring back. Hey, folks. Seriously. This is actually real.
Okay.
Bring this shit back and do it better.
What's that?
Schoolhouse fucking Rock.
Okay.
Bring back just some.
I don't think they could do any better. That was pretty great.
It was, but there's more history since then.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is,
yeah.
you know, well, you know, the rocking and a rolling, splishing and a splashing, we took a big of a slant on this America.
Really, I don't really like
rules.
Okay,
break down the history of shit.
I like the math stuff.
Yeah, I'm just a bill. Fantastic. Taught everyone what a bill was.
Elbow room seems a little, a little one sided. Elbow. Everyone needs elbow room. Yeah, everyone needs elbow room. Everyone.
Yeah, you're elbowing everybody out.
Why is it all the same
exactly.
people with the elbow room here?
Yeah, and by the way, there's nothing stopping anybody out there from doing their own Schoolhouse Rocks. You know, do that shit.
Yeah, their own version of it. Not Schoolhouse Rocks, but their own kind of thing, you know, like Schoolhouse Rocks.
Do Schoolhouse Rock.
Whoa, we're rioting in here.
Wait a second, they got that Disney money.
Woo, no, riot.
Anyway. Woo. All right, we're out of beverages. So we're going to... Listen, we didn't think we were going to be getting into that, but we did. Hey, what do we know? Happy Thanksgiving to our American listeners. Hope you enjoyed it.
Yes.
If those of us who are Canadian listeners, I hope you enjoyed it back when we had it.
And here's something else. Don't go shopping tomorrow.
Well, it would be a day in the past.
I'm sorry. Yeah, that's right. But my advice to you next year is don't go shopping tomorrow, because apparently... there is a psychological problem that creates fighting and stuff like that on like a Black Friday or Boxing Day kind of thing. I was reading an article in the paper about it yesterday.
Well, screw that. Don't fight.
So don't put yourself in a situation that creates that frenzy. Because that's what happens, is you end up in a situation where you become part of a frenzy and then people start wrestling each other over a television.
Yep.
Which, when you think about it, is kind of stupid.
Absolutely.
Because
everything's going to be VR soon. So don't be doing that. TV's stupid.
It's not
VR
even that.
Is where
it's just
at.
That they're always on sale. And the Black Friday specials aren't that great. They're more like come-ons. It's like shopping at Walmart, right? Where like there's a few come-ons,
exactly.
And the rest of the store is really expensive.
You know what I think's happening? I think Dave wants to get all the good savings himself, and he's telling you all not to do this.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for listening to the show this week. Oh, I'm not the person who hosted it. You say goodbye.
We love to hear from you, so here is how you do it. Those of you that listen to the show, sing along with me. Well, if you want the message board there on sneakydiagon.com, well, just post under our thing there.
Yay.
It's pretty obvious. It's also a store. You could buy some clothes, or maybe like a shirt, but we don't have no pants. Okay, other options are, why not have email? sneakyd@sneakydragon.com. There we go. sneakyd@sneakydragon.com. Hey, let's go to Twitter. We're never on that. sneaky_dragon. That's the problem with that. Hey, go to Tumblr. sneakydragon there. .tumblr.something. La 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 la.
We are social networking giants. It's obvious. We forgot one.
What's
Facebook.
The other one?
Facebook.
Or on Facebook, which you're probably already on right now. Why don't you go on our board and say, hey, 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 how? And also, we're on Patreon. You could give us money, but you don't have to. It's fine either way. And that's the end of the show. Oh, sorry. This is harder than the people who do Hamilton make it seem.
Guys, just one more thing before we go, which is that I got one address from a listener who sent us questions. If you sent questions and you didn't send me your address, please let me know your address. You can, as Ian said, you can send that address to sneakyd@sneakydragon.com. That's probably the most private place to send an address to. You can send it to me there and I will send you a little goodie bag, because we want to thank you for sending us questions for our show. That's how we show appreciation for your participation. That's how it works, everyone.
So, he's right, you know.
Ian?
Yep.
Say goodbye.
Oh, bye, everybody.
Goodbye.
Fun.
Guaranteed fun?
But not frolics.
Oh.
Yep.